Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Swami Dinamini, Namaste, Sarasadevam, Gurvani Pajar.
ಕಾರಣೇನ ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ್ಯ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾನ್ ವಾಲ್. ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ. ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ. ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋ ಸ್ಥಳ ಜಾಯದೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ. ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ. ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿದಗದ ಚಾರ್ತೇಷು ಅಭಿನ್ಯಸ್ವರ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದ ಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂದಿಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯಾಂ. ತೇಜೋ ವಾಯುಪ್ರದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತ ಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ. ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿದ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ವರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸತಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಂ ಅತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾವತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ. ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುಧ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್. ನಿಗಮ ಕಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕ ಮುಖಾದ ಮೃದ ದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾ. ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇದವೇ ತಾವತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ. ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುಭೇದಂ ಅಭೇದ ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾತರಂ ಆಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯ ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಂ ಆನದೋಸ್ಮಿ. ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಂ ಅದಿದಿದೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿನಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣ ಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೋನಂ ಉಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ. ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲವೇಣು ಕೊಡಿದಾದೃದಾನನೇಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಜಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭತಾಂ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೇನ ಕನಿಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿಗಾಭಿ. ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾಣಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಧಾರಿಣೆ. ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಂ ನಮಃ. ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಣಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋ ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ. ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾಘಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಷಂ ಪ್ರತಿಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಲಂ ಪೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಯ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರದೋ ಆರೋಗಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಯಲ್ ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೈ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. Sunday we were reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj about Sri Narada Maharshi's inspection of Krishna's household and life. That is what we were talking about. It's in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned as Krishna Garhasya Darshanam, or in other words, Sri Narada Maharshi came to see Krishna in his household and life. Sridharacharya Swamiji says about this, that Krishnasya Narado Drishva Vismito Gal Tadastuvan. How much he was shocked by seeing Krishna's opulences and Krishna's ability to handle 16,108 wives at the same time without any complaint from anyone. So that is what Sridharacharya Maharshi saw. So which we briefly discussed, and what I'll do now is I'll read that chapter, and then after that we have to go back to where we stopped. That is where Krishna and the whole family arrived in Indraprastham, and Indraprastham where Yudhishthira Maharaj was going to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. So today we just want to read this chapter, and then after that we want to discuss the Rajasuya sacrifice. Rajasuyam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam, all these great literature give such elaborate description of Rajasuyam. There are not many Rajasuyams performed even in the history. If you look at even the history of the Karmakandam, there are many, many great, great sacrifices mentioned. And Rajasuyam is one of the topmost sacrifices which can be rarely performed by the great personalities. Even they find it very, very difficult. But because Krishna had a specific reason why Rajasuyam was performed, Krishna has definitely decided to use Yudhishthira Maharaj as the tool to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. So many things which comes from there, from these pastimes of Krishna. Everything coming in the Krishna's household life. As we have said before, that Krishna started his household life with marrying Rukmini Devi first. And from then on, right up to the leaving this planet, 125 years, Krishna's opulences and Krishna's household life, that's what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam from all through these chapters right up to the end of the 10th canto. So I'll just read that chapter. This is chapter number 68. 10th canto of 68. Shri Shukavajam ನರಕಂ ನಿಹತಂ ಶುತ್ವಾ ತದೋದ್ವಾಹಂ ಚ ಯೋಷಿತಾಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾನೇಕೇನ ಬಹ್ವೀನಾಂ ತದ್ದೃಷ್ಣೋಸ್ಮ ನಾರದಾಃ ಚಿತ್ರಂ ವದೈತದೈಕೇನ ವಪುಷಾ ಯುಗದಲ್ ಪೃಥಕ್ ಗೃಹೇಷು ಅಷ್ಟಸಾಹಸ್ರಂ ಶ್ರಿಯಂ ಏಕಮುದಾವಹಲ್ ಇತ್ಯುತ್ಸವೋ ದ್ವಾರಗತಿಂ ದೇವರ್ಷಿ ದ್ರಷ್ಟುಮಾಗಮಲ್ ಪುಷ್ಪಿತೋ ಭವನಾರಾಮಂ ತ್ರಿಜಾಲಿಕುಲನಾದಿದಾಂ ಉಲ್ಭುಲ್ಲೇಂದಿವರಾಭೋಜ ಕಲ್ಹಾರಕುಮುದೋಲ್ಪಲೈ ಚುರಿದೇಷು ಸರಸ್ಸೂಚೈ ಕೂಜಿದಾಂ ಹಂಸಸಾರಸೈ ಪ್ರಾಸಾದಲಕ್ಷೇರ್ನೋಭಿರ್ ಜುಷ್ಟಾಂ ಸ್ಫಟಿಕರಾಜದೈ ಮಹಾಮರದಕ ಪ್ರಖ್ಯೈ ಸ್ವರ್ಣರತ್ನ ಪರಿಚ್ಛದೈ ವಿಭಕ್ತರಧ್ಯಾವದತ್ವರಾವಣೈ ಶಾಲಾ ಸಭಾವೀರುಜಿರಾಂ ಸುರಾಲಯೇ ಸಂಸಕ್ತ ಮಾರ್ಗಾಂ ಗಣವೀಧಿ ದೇಹಳಿಂ ಪದಲ್ಪದಾಗಾಂ ದುಜವಾರಿ ದಾದವಾಂ ತಸ್ಯಾ ಮಂದಪುರಂ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಮದರ್ಚಿತಂ ಸರ್ವಲಿಷ್ಣ್ಯವೈ ಹರೇ ಸುಕೌಶಲಂ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ವಷ್ಟ್ರಾ ಕಾರ್ಸ್ನ್ಯೇನ ದರ್ಶಿತಂ ತತ್ರ ಷೋಡಶಭಿ ಸದ್ಮ ಸಹಸ್ರೈ ಸಮಲಂಕೃತಂ ವಿವೈಶೈಕತಮಂ ಶೌರ್ಯೇ ಪತ್ನೀನಾಂ ಭವನಂ ಮಹಲ್ ವಿಶ್ವದ್ಧಂ ವಿದ್ರುಮಸ್ತಂಭೈ ವೈಡೂರ್ಯ ಫಲಗೋಪ್ತಮೈ ಇಂದ್ರನೀಲಮಯೈ ಕುಡ್ಯೈರ್ಜಗತ್ಯಾ ಜಹದತ್ವಷಾ ವಿಧಾನೇರ್ ನಿರ್ಮಿತೈ ಸ್ವಷ್ಟಾ ಮುಕ್ತಾ ದಾಮ ವಿಳಂಬಿನಿ ತಾಂದೈ ಆಸನ ವೈದ್ಯಂಗೇರ್ಮಣ್ಯತ್ತಮ ಪರಿಷ್ಕೃತೈ
ദാസീഭിർ നിഷ്കകണ്ഠീഭിർ സുവാസോഭിർ അലങ്കൃതം പുംഭി സഞ്ജഗഞ്ജുഗോഷ്ണീഷാ സുവസ്ത്രാമണികണ്ഠലേയം രത്നപ്രദീപതികരധ്വനിരസ്തധ്വാന്തം ആനമ്യ പാദയുഗളം ശിരസാ കിരീടദുഷ്ടേന സാഞ്ജലിരവിശദാസനേ സ്വയം തസ്യാവനിജചരണൌ തദവസ്വമൂർധ്നാ ബിഭ്രജ ജൽഗുരുധരോപി സദാംബതിർഹി ബ്രഹ്മണ്യദേവൈതി യൽഗുണനാമരുക്തം തസ്യൈവ യച്ചരണശൗചമശേഷതീർത്ഥം സംഭൂജ്യദേവ ഋഷിവര്യമഷി പുരാണോ നാരായണോ നരസഖോ വിധിനോദിരേണ വാണ്യാഭിമാഷ്യ മിതയാമനിഷ്ടയാദം പ്രാഹ പ്രഭോ ഭഗവതേ കരവാമഹേ കിം ശ്രീനാരദ ഉവാചാം നൈവാത്ഭുതം ദ്വൈ വിഭോ കില ലോകനാഥേ മൈത്രീജനേഷു സകലേഷു ധമഖലാനം നിശ്രേയസായ ഹി ജഗൽസ്ഥിതിരക്ഷണാഭ്യാം സ്വൈരാവതാരം ഉരുഗായ വികാമസുഷ്പിതാമസുഷ്ടും തിഷ്ടന്തവാംഗ്രിയുഗളം ജനതാപവർഗം ബ്രഹ്മാദിമിർഹൃതിജമിജത്യമഘാതബോധൈ സംസാരരൂപപതിതോത്തരണാവലംബം വ്യായശ്ചരാമനുഗൃഹാണയഥാസ്മൃതിസ്യാൻ തദോന്യദാവിശർഗേഹം കൃഷ്ണപത്യാ സനാരദാ യോഗേശ്വരേശ്വരസ്യാംഗം യോഗമായാവിവിൽസയാം ദിവ്യന്തമക്ഷൈസ്തത്രാപി പ്രിയയോചോദ്ധവേന ച പൂജിതപരയാ ഭക്ത്യാ പ്രത്യുത്ഥാനാസനാധിവീം പൃഷ്ടശ്ചാവിദുഷേ വാസോ കദായാദോ ഭവാനി ക്രിയതേ കിം പൂർണാനാം അപൂർണൈ അസ്മദാദിവീം അഥാപി ബൃഹിനോ ബ്രഹ്മൻ ജന്മൈത ശോഭനം കുരു സദുവിസ്മീതമുത്ഥായ തുഷ്ണീയമന്യതഗാൽഗൃഹം തത്രാപി ദഷ്ടം ഗോവിന്ദം ലാളയന്തം സുതാം ശിശുൻ തദോന്യസ്മിൻ ഗൃഹോ പശ്യർമർജ്ജനായ കൃതോദ്യമം ജുഹ്വന്തം ച വിദാനാഗ്നിൻ യജന്തം മഞ്ജമിർമഘൈ ഭോജയന്തം ദ്വിജ്വാൻ ക്വാപി പുഞ്ചാനാമവശേഷിതം ക്വാപി സന്ധ്യാമുപാസീനം ജപന്തം ബ്രഹ്മവാഖ്യതം ഏകത്രയാസി ജർമ്മഭ്യാം ചരന്തമസി വർമ്മസൂ അശ്വൈർഗജൈരഥൈ ക്വാപി വിചരന്തം ഗതാഗ്രജം ക്വചിച്ഛയാനം പര്യങ്കേ സ്തുയമാനം ച വന്നിഭി മന്ത്രയന്തംശ്ചിമന്ത്രിശ്ചോധവാദിവി ജലക്രീഡാരതം ക്വാമി വാരമുഖ്യാബലാവൃതം കുത്രചിന്തിജമുഖേഭ്യോ ദദദംസ്വലം കൃതാഹ ഇതിഹാസപുരാണാനി ശൃണ്വന്തം മംഗളാനി ച ഹസന്തം ഹാസ്യകതയാ കദാചിൽ പ്രിയയാ ഗൃഹേ ക്വാഭി ധർമ്മം സേവമാനം അർത്ഥകാമോ ച കുത്രചിൽ ജായന്തമേകമാസീനം പുരുഷം പ്രകൃതേ പരം ശുശ്രൂഷന്തം ഗുരുൻ ഗോവിൻ കാമയർഭോഗൈ സപര്യയാം കുർവന്തം വിഗ്രഹം കൈശ്ചിൽ സന്ധ്യം ചാന്യത്ര കേശവം കത്രാപി സഹരാമേണ ചിന്തയന്തം സദാം ശിവം പുത്രാണാം ദുഹൃണാം ച കാലേ വിധ്വയാവനം ദാരേർവരയ സൽസദൃശൈ കൽപ്പയന്തം വിഭൂതിവീം പ്രസ്താവനോ വാനായനൈ അപത്യാനാം മഹോത്സവാൻ വീക്ഷ്യ യോഗേശ്വരേശസ്യ യേഷാം ലോകോ വിസ്മരേം യജന്തം സകലാം ദേവാൻ ക്വാപി കൃതിവിരോചിതൈ പൂർത്തയന്തം ക്വചിൽ ധർമ്മം കൂപാരാമഠാദിവീം ചരന്തം മൃഗയാം ക്വാപി ഹയമാരുഹ്യ സൈന്ധവം നന്ദം തത് പശൂൻ രേഖ്യാൻ പരീതം യതുപുങ്കവൈ അവ്യക്തലിംഗം പ്രകൃതി സ്വന്ത പ്രഗൃഹാദിഷു ക്വചിച്ചരന്തം യോഗേശം തത്തൽ ഭാവബുഹുൽസയാം അധോവാച കൃഷീകേശം നാരദ പ്രഹസന്നിവ യോഗമായോദയം വീക്ഷമാനുഷീമീഷോഗിരിം വിദാമയോഗമായാസ്തേ ദുർദർശാഭിമാനിനം യോഗേശ്വരാത്മന്നുർഭാദാം ഭവൽപാദനിഷേവയാം അനുജാനിഹി മാം ദേവ ലോകാം സേശസാ പ്ലുതാൻ പരിണാമിതവോൽഗായം ലീലാം ഭുവനഭാവനിം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാം ബ്രഹ്മൻധർമ്മസ്യ വക്താഹം കർത്താ തദനുമോദിത തച്ഛിക്ഷയം ലോകമിമാം ആസ്തിത പുത്രമാഖിതാഹ ശ്രീശുഭവാചാം ഇത്യാജാന്തം സദ്ധർമാൻ പാവനാൻ ഗൃഹമേധിനാം തമേവ സർവദേഹേഷു സന്തമേകം ദദർശഹ കൃഷ്ണസ്യ അനന്തവീര്യസ്യ യോഗമായ മഹോദയം മുഹുർദൃഷ്ട്വാ കൃഷിരഭുൽ വിസ്മിതോ ജാതകൗതുകാഹ ഇത്യർത്ഥനാമധർമ്മേഷു കൃഷ്ണേനാശ്രദ്ധിതാത്മന സമ്യക് സഭാജിത പ്രീതം പ്രീതസ്ഥമേവാണ് സ്മരയന്യയോ ഏവം മനുഷ്യപദവീമനുവർത്തമാനം നാരായണോ അഖിലഭവായ ഗൃഹീതശക്തി രേമേംഗ ഷോഡശ സഹസ്രവരാങ്കനാം സംവ്രീഡ സൗഹൃദ നിരീക്ഷണ ഹാസജുഷ്ടാഃ യാനീഹ വിശ്വവിലയോത്ഭവവൃത്തിയേതു കർമാണ്യനന്യ വിഷയാണി ഹരിശ്ചകാര യസ്വംഗകായരി ശൃണോത്യനുമോദദേവ ഭക്തിർഭവേൽഭഗവരി അപവർഗമാകേ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണി പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ദേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ കൃഷ്ണഗാർഹസ്യ ഗാർഹസ്യ ദർശനം നാമ ഏകോനസപ്രതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, in that particular pastime, Sri Krishna, Supreme Personality, wanted to instruct this world certain things. Sri Narada Maharshi, being prompted by the people in Dwaraka, wanted to go and verify about Krishna's household life. But when Sri Narada Maharshi came back from the verification or the inspection of Krishna's household life, he realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he also realized one more thing, that Sri Narada Maharshi went to inspect Krishna, and later on Sri Narada Maharshi realized that there is somebody else above him to inspect what Sri Narada Maharshi is doing. That was what the realization Narada Maharshi got, that Narada Maharshi's intention was to go and verify whether Krishna was executing the household life properly. But at the end of that, when when the detective or private detective who came to call Sri Narada Maharshi to Krishna, to take him to Krishna, only then Sri Narada Maharshi realized that there is someone else above him checking what Sri Narada Maharshi is doing. So this is the realization Narada Maharshi got. We also need to get this realization. All the time we are thinking that we can get away in this world by doing so many things. And we also have the impression that no one is above us looking at us, or no one verify what we are doing. But in this pastime you can see, if Sri Narada Maharshi is being supervised by somebody, what is the possibility that we can escape from anything in Krishna's control? Everything in this material world, especially when we think that Krishna is not watching us, Krishna does not know what we are doing, and with this understanding we talk and do so many things in this world, and it is at this realization, if we get it, that there is always Krishna above watching us, what our activities are and what our words are and all these things, if we come to realize that, then we have succeeded most of our battle in spiritual life. Because this is why this one realization to come is very, very difficult. Often we find that we forget that Krishna is above supervising our activities and our words, and all the time it is being monitored by Krishna in some form, one way or the other. And Krishna knows what thoughts are going through our mind. All this understanding has to come from this particular pastime of Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi is executing a particular role in his pastimes with Krishna in order to teach this world that this is the all the pastimes what Krishna has performed in this 125 years is only to educate the human society in this world. This is one realization from this pastime. The second realization is, when Sri Narada Maharshi traveled all over, he has found that Krishna was executing different roles in different places. In different forms he was executing different activities. And Sri Narada Maharshi realized that if one comes to understand that all over the world, the living entities in this world are all Krishna's parts and parcels, and they are performing different roles. Some of them are doing pious activities, some of them are doing sinful activities. But all of them ultimately are Krishna's part and parcel. And in this world, they perform different roles according to prompted by their karma. If one that realization one gets, then there is no need for anyone to get so attached to anybody. There is no need for that. Because after all, Krishna's expansions, Krishna's part and parcels, every living entity in this world.
And Krishna's activities in this particular pastime is to show us that in different roles, Krishna can function in different ways. Or in 16,108 palaces, Krishna was executing, engaged in different activities. Similarly, all these parts and parcels of Krishna in this world also are similarly engaged in different activities. Sometimes in pious activities, sometimes in sinful activities. So in different kind of activities they are engaged in. So it is nothing much to feel that all these activities of the living entities are all being prompted and monitored by the Supreme Personality, Krishna. So these two things are being taught from that from that particular pastime. It is after that that what we spoke about the Lord Balaram's pastime with Dvija, which we have discussed before. And Sri Narada Maharshi in the next chapter talks about Krishna's little bit about Krishna's daily routine, what we have spoken briefly last Sunday. And after that, Krishna's travel to Indraprastham to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, which also we spoke about. So I'll just read that chapter also, and then we'll move on to Rajasuya.
Shri Shugavajam adoshasya pavrtayam kukudan kujadoshavan grihita gandhapadibhir madhavyo virahaduraha vayamsya yuruvan krishnam bodayam divandina gayal sallushadidrani mandaravanabhayubhi muhurtam nanduvaitharbhi namashadishobhanam parirambhana nishleshal priyabahu amdaram gada brahmi muhurtam uthaya vayuvaspriśyamadhava tadhyav prasannagarnavalpanam tamasaparam Egam Soyam Jodhidananyam Vyayam Sosamstaya Nitya Nirastha Kalmasham Brahmakhyam Asyolbhava Shahedubi Soshakti Vyavlakshita Bhava Narupradim Adhapludam Bhasyamale Yadhavidi Kriya Kalapam Paridaya Vasasi Chakara Sandhyogama Adisattamo Hudanalo Brahma Jajaba Vagyadaha Upastaya Arkam Udhyandam Tapayitu Atmanakala Devan Rishin Pitran Vrindhan Viprana Bhyarjayatmavan Dhenunam Rukmashanginam Sadhvinam Motiyasrajam Payasuninam Kushinam Krishinam Savalsanam Suvasasam Dadaurukhyam Vyagranam Shaumajin Adilai Saha Alankradebhyo Viprebhyo Vadvam Vadvam Vinedini Govipradeva Dabuddha Guruan Bhudani Sarvasha Namaskritya Atma Sambhudir Mangalani Samaspreshal Atmanam Bhushayamasa Naraloga Vibhushanam Vasobir Bhushane Suyir Divyasraggan Levani Avekshyajam Dadadrasham Govrushadvija Devadaha Kamamscha Sarvavarnanam Pavuranam Naburajaninam Tadapipagrdi Kamehi Pradosha Pratyanandadam Svivaji Agrado Vipran Saktram Bhulanu Levani Sukrata Prakdir Dharanubayam Tadadaswayam Taval Sudamubaniya Syandhanam Paramalbudam Sugriva Gerhairutam Pranamyavasidogradaha Grihitvavanina Pani Sarahesamahari Paharuhal Satipuddhosam Yukta Purvadrinya Bhaskara Ichirondavirastrinam Savrida Pramavichidai Krishwa Andrasishto Niraga Jadaha Sohananmana Sudharmakhyam Sabham Sarve Vishnavi Parivarida Pravishadjanya Vishtanam Nasandhinga Shadurmayam Tatrava Vishta Paramasane Vibhur Kadosabhaso Kukubhova Bhasayam Vrdona Simhai Yadivijya Dhyutamo Yadhobriya Jodhivitare Gaganai Tatrava Mandrino Rajan Nahasira Sairvipham Upadasturnada Jaya Nartakya Sandhavai Prathay Vrdangavina Amritam Inudaladarasvani Nandardur Jagusashtushtushtushcha Sudamakadavandinam Tatrahu Brahmana Gejil Dasina Brahmavadinam Purvesham Punyashasam Rajnyam Chagathayam Katham Tatraya Purushorajan Agado Purvadar Abhuvadar Shana Vinyavido Bhagavade Pradihare Praveshida Sanamaskritya Krishnaya Pareshaya Kridanjali Rajnyamavede Dukham Jara Sandhanirodajam Yajat Vigvijaya Dasya Sananim Yayurmrabam Prasahya Tadhaste Nasan Ayude Duhe Giripradeyam Giripradeyam Krishna Krishna Aprameyatman Pramenna Mahimanjaya Vayam Tuam Sharanam Yamo Bhavida Padadhyam Logo vikarma nirada kushale pramatta takarmanneyam todudide bhavadarchane sve yastavadasya balavaniha jividasham sadhya chinantyanvishaya namostu tasmai loge bhavan jagadina kulayavadirnam sadrakshanaya khalanigrahanaya janyam kaschil todiyamadi adyudesha misha kimba janasukramurchadidanna vidma സ്വപ്നായുധന്ദ്രപസുഖം പരതന്ത്രമീശ ശശ്വത്ഭയേന മൃതകേന ധുരം വഹാമ ഇത്വാസദാത്മനിസുഖം ത്വദനിഹലഭ്യം ക്ലിശ്യാമഹേതി കൃപണാസ്തവ മായേഹ തന്നോ ഭവാൻ പ്രാതശോകഹരാംഗ്രീത്മോ ബദ്ധാൻവിയം ക്ഷമകഥാഹയകമപാശാൽ യോ ഭൂപുജോയിതമതം ഗജവീര്യമേകോ ബിഭ്രദ്ധുരോധഭവനേ വികരാടിവാമീ യോ വൈ ത്വയാദനമകൃത്തമുദാത്തചക്രഭസ്മോമൃതേ ഖലു ഭവന്തമനന്തവീര്യം ജിത്വാ മൃലോകനിരതം സകൃതൃഢദർപ്പോ യുഷ്മൽ പ്രജാരുദിനോചിതദ്ഭിലേഹി ശ്രീദൂതവാചാം ഇതി മാകത സംവൃദ്ധാം ഭവദർശനകാംക്ഷിണ പ്രവണ്ണ പാദമൂലം തേ ദീനാനാംശം വിരീയതാം ശ്രീശുഭവാചാം രാജദൂതേ ഭൂമത്യേവം ദേവർഷീപരമദ്യുതി ബിഭ്രൽ പിങ്കജടാഭാരം പ്രാദുരാസീധ്യധാരമീ തം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണ സർവലോകേശ്വരേശ്വര വമന്ദമുത്ഥിത ശീർഷ്ണ സസഭ്യാ സാനുഗോമുദാം സഭാചയിത്വാ വിധിവൽ കൃതാസന പരിഗ്രഹം ഗഭാഷേ സൂനൃതൈർവാക്യേ ശ്രദ്ധയാ ദർപ്പയൻ മുനിം അഭിസുദ്ധ്യ ലോകാനാം ത്രയാണാമഹുതോ ഭയം നയഭൂയാൽ ഭഗവതോ ലോകാൻ പരിഡതോ ഗുണ മഹിതേ അവിദിതം ഗിഞ്ചി ലോകേഷ് ഈശ്വരകർത്തൃഷു അഥ പൃച്ഛാമഹേ യുഷ്മാൻ പാണ്ഡവാനാം ചികീർഷിതം ശ്രീനാരദ വാചാം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ മയാദേ ബഹുശോ ദുരത്യയ മായാവിഹോ വിശ്വസൃജമായിനം ഭൂദേശമോ ശരദസ്വ ശക്തി വന്യേ വന്യേ വച്ചോനമേദ്ഭുതം ശ്രവേ ബ്രഹ്മാനരലോകവിഡംബനം യക്ഷിത്വാം മഹേന്ദ്രേണ രാജസൂയേന പാണ്ഡവ പരമേഷ്യാകമോ നൃപതി സദ്ഭവാനുമോദതാം തസ്മിൻ ദേവക്രതുവരെ ഭവന്തം വൈസുരാദയ ദിദൃക്ഷവ സമേഷന്തി രാജാനശേഷസ്വിന ശ്രവണാൽ കീർത്തനാൽ ധ്യാനാൽ പോയന്നേ അന്തേവസായിന തവ ബ്രഹ്മമയസ്തേഷാക്കിമുദേക്ഷാവിമർഷിനാം യസ്യാമലം ദിവ്യേഷപ്രതിതം രസായാം ഭൂമൌചതേ ഭുവനമംഗള ദിവ്യദാനം മന്ദാകിനി ദിവി ഭോഗവതീരി ചാധോ ഗംഗേരി ചേഹ ശരണാംബു പുനാദി വിശ്വം ശ്രീശുക ഉവാചാം തത്രദേഷു ആത്മപക്ഷേഷു ഗ്രഹണസ്തു വിചികീഷയ വാചാപേഷൈ സ്മയൻ മൃത്യം ഉദ്ധവം പ്രാഹകേശവാം ശ്രീ ഭഗവാനു വാചാം ത്വമിന പരമം ചക്ഷു സുഹൃന്മന്ദാത്ര തത്വവിൽ തത്രാദൂഷ്യനുഷ്ഠേയം ശ്രദ്ധമക്കരവാമതൽ ഇത്യുപാമന്ത്രിതോ ഭർത്ത സർവജ്ഞേനാഭിമുഗ്ധവൽ നിദേശം ശിരസാധായ ഉദ്ധവ പ്രത്യഭാഷതാം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ ഭഗവദ്ധ്യാന വിചാരേ സപ്തതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
സോ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദിസ് വി ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു ഇന്ദ്രപ്രസ്ഥം വേ കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് and all family has arrived in Indraprastham. So Rajasuyam has to take place in Indraprastham. And externally, Krishna had the desire that to fulfill the desire of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to glorify Krishna by performing this Rajasuyam sacrifice. Yudhishthira Maharaj had a great desire to bring Krishna and the family together and to worship all of them together it was a great pleasure for Yudhishthira Maharaj to do that. So in order to do that, Yudhishthira Maharaj requested Sri Narada Maharshi to invite Krishna and the family all together, and they had come to Indraprastham. That is where we stop. They were received at the palace by Kundi Devi, Draupadi Devi and also Subhadra Devi. Apart from all the Pandavas, they all received Krishna there at that time. So when Krishna arrived at Indraprastham, the people had the impression that Yudhishthira Maharaj had this great desire to receive Krishna. Duryodhana thought that Yudhishthira Maharaj had been specifically given a higher position by Krishna by accepting this to be worshipped in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. So many people thought so many things about Krishna's activities. So many people had different impressions why Krishna agreed for this Rajasuyam sacrifice. Rajasuyam is not a very easy sacrifice to perform. If you read, it lasts for 17 months and 17 days. That is how long it lasts. and the amount of rituals and activities involved in Rajasuyam, if one reads about it in the Shastram, one can recognize that such a sacrifice is not easy to perform. Rajasuyam is not at all easy to perform. The amount of manpower required, qualified people to perform that, the rituals involved, and the purity of the ingredients, what is involved, and the collection of wealth to execute that. In this modern world, it is not possible to do any such thing. In addition to that, in order to execute this Rajasuyam sacrifice, the help was offered even from the higher planetary systems. From the heavenly planets, the help was offered to Yudhishthira Maharaj, all because of Krishna's arrangement. People may think, why Krishna took so much interest in this Rajasuyam? Sridharacharya Swamiji answers that in the beginning of this chapter. What was the reason?
Rajasuyam isham kritva bhima duryodhanadishu kalpimulpadya tadvaya bhubharam haral prabhum.
The only intention Krishna had in the Rajasuyam sacrifice was to perform this Rajasuya sacrifice, create enmity between the two kingdoms of Indraprastham and Hastinapur, between Duryodhana and Yudhishthira Maharaj, create an enmity between them and destroy the Duryodhana at the end. This was the purpose of Rajasuyam. So you can see, when Krishna decides to do something, how things can happen. Nobody will understand what is the rule behind all these things. When human society engages in sinful activities, Krishna decides to sort this out. He doesn't have to send anybody. Between people, he can create quarrel and make them to fight each other and kill themselves. And this is the way Krishna's plan works in this world. When we reject the injunctions given in the Shastram, particularly in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and we adopt ourselves, take control of the administration of this world, and also engage in sinful activities, and the result of that is that Krishna decides, ultimately, we are completely controlled by the higher laws of material nature, which are very, very stringent, and they are controlled by Krishna. And Krishna's desire and Krishna's decisions is ultimately implemented and executed in this world. No one has any control over it, and that is what he wanted to show through this Rajasuyam. But all the developments in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, if you read, that how enthusiastic Krishna was to perform this Rajasuyam sacrifice. Externally, one may think the intention was to please Yudhishthira because he was his devotee. But utilizing that opportunity, Krishna decided that at the end of Rajasuyam sacrifice, he wanted to sow the seed for Mahabharata war. And that was sown, and with full satisfaction, Krishna went back to Dwaraka. That is how Krishna's activities are. So, when Krishna arrived for the Rajasuyam sacrifice with all the family, first a few months went on peacefully. There was not much of an activity. Krishna was thinking about how Rajasuyam sacrifice should be performed, and he wanted that desire should come out from Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind. So one day, during the first 2 months, what was noticed was that the whole family, that Krishna's, this large family which has come with Krishna there, they did not even have to open their boxes of clothes or boxes of jewelry. Nothing was necessary because continuously Subhadra and Draupadi were supplying everything what was required for them, for their life there. That is how opulent Yudhishthira Maharaj became immediately. Krishna's way of doing things is so different that when he wants to do something, he does not require any help from anyone. Actually, what Krishna does is he empowers people, give them all the strength what is necessary, and gets the things done automatically. And that you can see in this Rajasuyam sacrifice, very nicely presented all the way through. So when Krishna arrived there, he realized that the facilities for staying was not very good. Because after all, how many buildings can you make for this whole family of Krishna who had come from Dwaraka? So immediately Krishna realized that the accommodation is a problem. And then all the other facilities, before deciding to go ahead with Rajasuyam, Krishna and Yudhishthira Maharaj one day spoke to Krishna about this, that it is now 2 or 3 months since Krishna has come to Indraprastham. And till now we haven't discussed anything about Rajasuyam. So one day Duryodhana asked Krishna about it, What do you feel about this Rajasoyam? When Duryodhana, Yudhishthira Maharaj mentioned this to Krishna, Krishna immediately understood why Rajasoyam, why Yudhishthira Maharaj has raised this question. Because Rajasoyam has got certain formalities to perform before the Rajasoyam sacrifice can begin. The first formality is that they have to conquer all the kings and extract from them taxes. They have to agree to surrender to Yudhishthira Maharaj and offer their taxes to him. And this thought was in Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind. How am I going to do that? As far as the army is concerned, it is not a big army that Yudhishthira had. The majority of the army Duryodhana had at the same time. And apart from that, he had only these four brothers, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadeva, who could help him. And to go around and to subdue all the kings and defeat them and force them to pay taxes is a lot of effort required. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking all these things. But those things did not actually worry Yudhishthira so much. There was a much bigger problem that was going through Yudhishthira's mind. What was the biggest problem? Bigger problem was this. How can I ask Dwaraka to pay my taxes, to pay me taxes? Because you can ask everywhere else, but to ask Krishna to surrender to me and ask Krishna, now you start paying taxes to me. So that is a problem for Yudhishthira. This is why he was keeping quiet, not saying one word about anything. He carried on thinking that Krishna has to find a solution for this. There is nobody else who can find the solution except Krishna himself. Because if you have to ask Dwaraka to pay the taxes, that means Krishna has to agree to surrender to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is a devotee. And a devotee cannot even in his dreams think something like that. So altogether confused, Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking how to put it to Krishna. But when one day, when Yudhishthira raised this question, immediately Krishna clicked into his mind why Yudhishthira was hesitating to bring up this issue. Immediately, what did Krishna say to Yudhishthira Maharaj? He called Rukmini Devi and told Rukmini, Rukmini, bring me that box what Ugrasena has given to me. And asked her to bring a large box, fully, nicely packed, covered, gift wrapper, everything, nicely tied down. Rukmini brings it from inside. Krishna hands that box to Yudhishthira Maharaj and told Yudhishthira Maharaj, there is no need to worry about Dwaraka. Ugrasena Maharaj has accepted your authority. Here is the first installment of taxes for that. Handed it over to Yudhishthira Maharaj. This Yudhishthira did not know what to say. He started crying that seeing Krishna doing this to him, he did not know how to react to that situation except to stand there. He is his elder brother also. Krishna's elder brother is Yudhishthira Maharaj. If you look at age-wise and also family relationship, if you look at Yudhishthira is elder to Krishna. So nothing he could do about it except to stand there with tears in his eyes. And after this was over, Krishna called the four brothers, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva and Bhima. And told Yudhishthira Maharaj, all your four brothers are Logabala Amshasambhavaham. They are all Logabala Amshasambhavaham. Logabala Amsha means they are in different directions. There are different demigods responsible for that. In eight directions, eight demigods are mentioned. And four of them has descended to this earth as these four brothers of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So knowing very well what their background is and what they are capable of, Krishna put his hands on all these four brothers and told Yudhishthira Maharaj, send them in all the four directions to conquer everyone. And four directions, four of them went, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadeva were sent in four directions. But even then, Yudhishthira Maharaj had one problem. The problem was this, that if you take the Indraprastham and Dwaraka, that means Yudhishthira Maharaj's palace and Ugrasena's palace in Dwaraka, more or less, there were no enemies to both of them, in the sense that if someone was inimical to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was friendly with Krishna. But if someone was inimical to Krishna, he was either friendly or related to Yudhishthira Maharaj. This was the whole situation in the at that time. And so therefore, there was no fear at all, and most of them will accept Yudhishthira Maharaj's authority or sovereignty and offer the taxes and agree to come for Rajasoyam. So this was known to Yudhishthira Maharaj, except there was one personality whom both Krishna and Yudhishthira Maharaj could not handle easily. That was Jarasandha. Jarasandha, who was the king of Magadha, this Jarasandha will not accept either Yudhishthira's authority or Krishna's authority. This was the situation. Whereas everyone else, including Shishubala, had no problem about Rajasuyam. Shishubala also had no problem about Rajasuyam. Shishubala, although he disliked Krishna so much, he hated Krishna so much, and he told Yudhishthira Maharaj that you can perform Rajasuyam. I have no problem with that, performing Rajasuyam sacrifice. But my difficulty is, I just don't want to be there, because you will bring Krishna there, and I don't want to see him. That's all. That's the only problem I have, he says to Yudhishthira Maharaj. We'll come to that later, what happened about that. So our Yudhishthira Maharaj decided to send these four brothers in four directions. But about Jarasandha, he still didn't know how to handle the situation. It was then that Krishna says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, you must be worried about Jarasandha, aren't you? Yudhishthira said, yes. Jarasandha was very, very powerful personality. And easily, it was not easy for anyone to defeat him and to bring him under their control. So Krishna says to Yudhishthira Maharaj that, please send Arjuna and Bhima with me. And three of us will go and bring Jarasandha under control. So they boarded the chariot. Arjuna, Bhima and Krishna boarded the chariot. At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Krishna, that how come three of you are going? You don't need an army with you to go and fight with Jarasandha. Krishna says, army and all is not going to work with Jarasandha. Our army is not strong enough to fight Jarasandha. But if you really want to help me, you can do some favor, he says. Krishna says to Yudhishthira, what is that? Bring me three sets of clothes, first class dhotis, nicely with big thick border and everything. And when we dress up, we will need this. We want to dress up specifically in a particular way. Hand over these three sets of first-class clothes for us, for three of us. And also, if you can give us some nice umbrellas, three umbrella, nice first-class, made of palmyra leaves, because that's the kind of umbrella Krishna wanted, palmyra leaves umbrella, hand them over to us. And also, some vibhuti or gobi chandan, which we can apply on our forehead and over the body for tilak purposes, for putting tilak on all the body. So all these things Krishna requested and they were also supplied. Krishna never mentioned to Arjuna or Bhima what the plan is. And he started driving the chariot. Krishna drove the chariot all the way to Magadha. From Indraprastham he drove the chariot to Magadha. Just before he reached Magadha, the palace of Jarasandha, Krishna stopped the chariot near a nice river where plenty of first class water was flowing. He got down from the chariot and told Arjuna and Bhima, get down from the chariot and bathe very nicely, he said. He told both of them to bathe, and Krishna also bathed very well in the river. After Krishna has bathed, he told Bhima and Arjuna, now you dress up like brahmanas, he said. And he handed over these dhotis to both of them. And he took himself one dhoti and Krishna dressed up like a brahmana, nicely dressed up like a brahmana. And put tilak all over the body, kept his sacred thread, and also a second cloth on his shoulder, everything. And if you have seen, and put the tilak everywhere, very in detail, all over the body. Bhima didn't like all these things. Bhima says, I'm not into this kind of games, he says. Krishna says to Bhima, if you want the job to be done, listen to me, what I'm saying, he said. So in lot of reluctance, Bhima agreed to do what Krishna told him to do. Bhima is his elder brother, isn't it? Krishna's elder brother. So Bhima had little authority. Arjuna had no problem. Arjuna just did what he was told. So after everything was done, they left the chariot there, and these three brahmanas, actually they are kshatriyas. They are dressed up like brahmanas. And they look like first class brahmanas, ready for receiving charity. If you have seen them at that time, no, can you imagine Krishna dressed up like a brahmana? No peacock feather, no crown, nothing, no garlands, and all dressed up nicely in a way that he looks like a brahmana who has come to ask for charity. Because Krishna knew Jarasandha was a great devotee of the brahmanas. He was a great devotee of brahmana. And Janasandha was such a worshipper of Brahmana. The Brahmana bhakti or the devotion to Brahmana was very strong in Janasandha's heart. So knowing very well all these things, Krishna has decided to go in this route, through this way. So when they arrived at the palace, our Janasandha has one habit. Unless all the Brahmanas are fed, he won't take one prasadam. He won't take anything, any food. So particular he was in his habits, that he will make sure that everyone is fed before he takes even food. That is how much he was devoted to the Brahmanas. So when they arrived at the palace, immediately all the Brahmanas are welcomed there. And Janasandha used to have always visits of so many Brahmanas used to come and he used to offer them. In fact, the interesting thing here is, Krishna himself is a devotee of Brahmanas. Brahmana bhakti is also in Krishna. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hidaya Ja, Jagadidaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. That is Krishna. Krishna's devotion to Brahmanas is also well known. But even Janasandha will even beat Krishna. That is how he was. His devotion to the Brahmanas was such. Because by Brahmanas' blessings, Janasandha has achieved many things. And sometimes it has come helpful, sometimes it wasn't also. So in this situation, it was not a helpful thing, what has happened. Krishna decided to go through this way to bring Janasandha under control. So when they arrived at the palace, immediately seeing these three new Brahmanas who had come, the palace authorities took them immediately to be fed, where the feast was offered to them before the charity was given. So this first you feed them and then you offer them the charity. So Krishna knew that Arjuna and Bhima have no idea what the plan is. Krishna himself decided to handle the situation. So Krishna says to the palace authorities, we are Brahmanas, but we won't take any prasadam now. We have not come to take any prasadam at the moment. First of all, we want to see Janasandha, he said. Before we take any prasadam, we have something important to discuss. So the palace authorities went and told Janasandha that three Brahmanas have come and they would like to see you before they take any food, and therefore please talk to them and see what they have to say. So Janasandha, naturally being very devoted to the Brahmanas, came out from the palace and saw these three Brahmanas standing there. So from there Janasandha invited them inside and started the conversation between Janasandha and Krishna. Arjuna and Bhima are standing behind, not saying anything. The whole conversation is between Janasandha and Krishna. Janasandha says to Krishna, I guess we have seen somewhere before. Krishna's answer, we are coming from a very long distance. He won't answer anything directly. The question he raised was, I think we have seen before. Krishna's answer is, we are coming from a very long distance, he says. So Janasandha sensed that they don't want to answer anything properly. All the questions Janasandha was questioning them, and their answers were like this. The second question Janasandha says to them, that Krishna knew where to catch Janasandha, what is his weakness was. And knowing very well, Krishna says to them that we are Brahmanas who have come here with a specific request. But haven't we met before? Janasandha says, again, ask the question, haven't you met before? Krishna says, yes, we have met a few times, he said. Sridharajaya Swamiji says there, Panjali Swayamvaradu, that is how he answers. In Draupadi Devi's marriage we met, he says. No, we Brahmanas go everywhere where there is a feast. This is the first thing Krishna says. So you can take it in two ways. Panjali Swayamvaradu, in two ways it can be said. Panjali's marriage time we were there for the feast. You can also say there that when Janasandha was there to take the bow and start to shoot the arrow to win Draupadi, Janasandha collapsed there. He couldn't do it because of the weight of that bow, which Arjuna later on took and shot the arrow, isn't it? And when Janasandha fell down, all the Pandavas and the kings who were helpful to the Pandavas, they all laughed. And we were also there, we also laughed a lot at that time. Krishna says this to Janasandha. Janasandha is hearing all these things, still trying to figure out who this personality is. He won't reveal the identity still. Krishna won't reveal the identity. He is still saying, and yes, we have met before, but this is how I remember where we met. Never mentioned 17 times I threw you out from the chariot. and you have ran away. And 18th time, I ran away from you. All these things was kept in confidence. And the way Krishna dressed up was such, no one could figure out. Jarasandha even in his dreams could think that it was Krishna who was standing there. So Jarasandha at that point said to them, that whatever it is, he was very proud of his devotion to the Brahmanas. So Jarasandha says to them, no matter, I don't know you very well, but whatever it is, if Brahmanas come, I give them anything, whatever they ask. No matter what they ask, I'm willing to offer them. Even my own head, I'll offer to them. Krishna is thinking, yes, yes, that's exactly what I want. That, it is that head I need, but it's not time yet. Wait for a minute, he says to him. Krishna is saying to him, wait for a minute, I will ask for it later. So in this way, this conversation is going on. Arjuna and Bhima is standing there and scratching the head, listening to all this Krishna's diplomacy. When Krishna wants to carry out something, no one can cheat him. Nobody can cheat Krishna. Jarasandha cannot cheat Krishna, Duryodhana cannot cheat Krishna, Ravana cannot cheat Krishna. Nobody can cheat Krishna. And when Krishna wants to do something, he gets things done in his own way. Like he did with Mahabali. Mahabali's pride was, I am the biggest personality to perform charity. And through that weakness, he made Mahabali to hand over everything to him. So exactly in the same way, Jarasandha's weakness was, I am a great devotee of the Brahmana. So if that is the issue, if that is your pride, then through that I will get you now. So exactly what he said to Jarasandha was, that no, but still who are you? We do not know. Jarasandha says to Krishna. Krishna says at that point, if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam those verses, where Krishna mentions about it, Chapter 73, verse 29. How Krishna is answering to Jarasandha. You will see the beauty, the way Sudeva Goswami talks about him. Krishna says to him, Yuddham no dehi Rajendra. My dear king, we have come to ask you to fight with us. Dvandvayudham. Dvandvayudham means dual fight. Between, he can select one among the three and he is asking for a fight. Two people, between one to each other. And that is what he wanted to have, that fight. So Krishna says, we have come to ask you for Dvandvayudham. Dvandvayudham means this dual fight. We want to fight with you. This is what we have come to ask from you. But Jarasandha says, you are Brahmanas, how do I fight with you? He says, Krishna says, actually we are not Brahmanas. We are Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas! Jarasandha got a shock. So who are you then? Krishna says in the next verse, I am Krishna. Do you know me? He says. Jarasandha got a shock when he heard I am Krishna. Mam Krishnam. But there are so many Krishnas. But who? Janihi. Know that Teribum, your enemy. That Krishna, it's me who is standing there. Jarasandha got a shock. At that time, he kept it himself, his fear, because Jarasandha is not a stupid person. He is very intelligent and very knowledgeable also. If you want to understand, do not think that Jarasandha was ignorant. No, Jarasandha was not ignorant. He is a very intelligent person. But what has happened was, at the time of Rukmini's marriage, Jarasandha has given a lecture there. If you read that in Mahabharata, you will find out how calculative and how realistic Jarasandha was. Jarasandha told all those who were present there at the time of marriage, none of you can beat Krishna. You won't be able to beat him. I also cannot do it. Jarasandha knew this very well. So now, Krishna had come to fight. Why did Jarasandha still continue to go along with this way, in this route, against Krishna? Reason is, somehow or the other, a bad propensity in Jarasandha developed against Krishna. Just see, if you develop some inimical vasanas or inimical propensities inside towards someone, that vasana in due course will grow. And you will find it difficult to overcome that, even if you want to overcome that. It is such a nature of the mind that once an enmity is created towards someone, that enmity will build up inside. And in Janasandha's case also was the same problem, that he knew that there was no way he could beat Krishna. Now, Krishna's position was known to Janasandha. And he has revealed that also in Rukmini Swayamvaram's time, Rukmini's marriage time, he spoke about this. But he was unable to overcome that. He did not know what to do. And this was building up inside so strongly that he did not want to continue that anymore. So he decided that he will accept the challenge from the brahmanas, these three so-called brahmanas who had come. So they say to, Janasandha said to Krishna, that since you have, although you have come, kshatriyas dressed up like brahmanas, even if they are dressed up, because it's brahmanas, I accept the offer and I don't give it up so easily. I have such a respect for the brahmanas. This is what Janasandha was saying. Krishna was saying, yes, yes, give me the respect, what you want to give it to me. And in this way, the discussion started. So, who is this? Janasandha asked. This you don't know, he's the middle of the Pandavas, Arjuna. Oh, Arjuna, he says, how come you have come? He says, Arjuna, Krishna has brought me here, he says. then who is this? He says, this is, have you heard? You see then the words, what it says? Brada Arjuna Ohem Anayor Madhuleyam Maham Krishnam. I am their uncle, Krishnam Janihi Te Rupam Asau Vrigodara Partha. This is Vrigodara. Bhima Sena, he said, Bhima, your dress is very good, Janasandha says to him. You look as a first class Brahmana, he said, that the way you have dressed up, Bhima is looking at Krishna. You have prompted, because Bhima doesn't like all these things, to dress up like a Brahmana and to fight and all that. Bhima knew only one thing, fight straight and deal with the people. He has not learned all this diplomatic route. He's not known to Bhima. So Bhima was not very happy about it, but he had to accept it because Krishna is telling him to do that. So Bhima and Arjuna and Krishna standing there. So Krishna says to Janasandha, whom do you want to fight with? Janasandha says, Krishna says, why don't we fight? Janasandha said, no, I won't fight with you, he said, because you ran away from the battlefield last time, he says. But Krishna says, you ran away 17 times before that. Krishna says, and I ran away on the 18th time from the battlefield. So Janasandha says, the first one won't take, you count the last one. The 18th one, you ran away. So that is what we take into account. He says, ultimately, I ran away. That's true. Okay, if that's the case, we leave it then. Then they turn to Arjuna. Arjuna, oh, is this little young boy, he says. Bhimasena, Arjuna, Janasandha says, I won't fight with Arjuna because he's just a young boy. He's much younger to me. There will be a lot of simple reaction if I beat him up and kill him with that fight. So Arjuna, I'm not going to fight. But with Bhima, I can fight because sages who come here to my palace, they have told me, Bhima Tulya Vayo Bala, that we are equal in our strength. So I do not mind fighting with Bhima. Krishna says, Janasandha. Janasandha says this to Krishna. Krishna says, alright, so let us have the fight then. Let Bhima be, Bhima continue with the fight. So everything was decided. Janasandha decided to agree. Janasandha agreed for the fight with Bhima. So when it was agreed, then what happened was, Janasandha took Bhima and went into the room where they have kept all the clubs. It was a club fight. In different times, different kinds of things were attractive to people. There were strict rules and regulations regarding this fight. He took Bhima to the, what do they call, armory or whatever, where the arms were kept. Went in and took two big powerful clubs. Bhima was a very powerful personality like Janasandha. And asked Bhima to select one of them, whatever he wanted from that. Bhima looked at all the clubs and picked up one, a heavy one, which suited his body features. And then Janasandha also took one. And then the arena for fighting, club fighting, that was in the underground. They didn't do it on the top at all. So, and the lights were provided for the fight. Krishna and Arjuna, his duty was to just stand and witness the fight. That was the duty. So, this fight started between Bhima and Jarasandha. You can see at different times, different things are attractive for people. Sometimes you can see, nowadays it is football everywhere, isn't it? They make this football club, that football club, millions of pounds they spend. And they make the night time, make it daytime by providing lights. And in this way, they make playing football. This becomes the happiness of this world today. But in those days, these were the things, fighting with the clubs and archery. All those things were attractive to the people. So different times, different things, that's all. And that is a history. Anyway, our Bhima and Jarasandha started the fight. Krishna and Arjuna were witnessing the fight. So this carried on for quite a while. 27 days they were fighting. How was the fight? Morning to evening they'll fight with the club. They will beat up each other very heavily. And in the evening, they will stop. At a particular time, they will stop the fight. After that, they are friends. There is no enmity after that. And then they will go back to their places, wherever they had to rest, get up in the morning, start the whole fight again. So 27 days it continued. Properly watched by Krishna and Arjuna, and also by the referee, whoever was making sure that there was no foul, or everyone was acting strictly according to the law. So it's carried out like that, and Bhima started realizing he can't do anything with Jarasandha. Jarasandha was very, very powerful. So sometimes in the evening, when they come back after the fight, they'll start joking each other. They'll discuss about the day's fight, how they fought each other. That is how they were. They were not inimical. The enmity wasn't built up like that. They had to show Kshatriyas their superiority in ability, in their fighting spirit. But there is no enmity towards the other person. So Jarasandha will ask Bhima, sometime, how did you receive that blow I gave you on your back? Bhima will say, yes, it was pretty heavy. I couldn't take it. Then Bhima will ask Jarasandha, what about that one I gave you on your left arm? He says. Jarasandha says, I have arranged a special massage with your oils. My physiotherapist has come. He is taking care of me. Hopefully I should be okay by morning. This is how they will answer, like they will talk to each other about their own fight in the arena. So everything was gone. In the night they'll go to sleep. In the morning, early hours, they'll get up, perform their morning duties, and after that come back to fight again. This is what the routine was. 27 days they fought like this, neither side winning, neither Jarasandha nor Bhima. So this carried on. So the way they used to rest was in the night. Jarasandha went to his room and slept. And in another room, Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima, they slept together. They slept in the same room. So in the night time, on the 27th day, the way they slept was Krishna, then Arjuna, then Bhima. So on the 27th day night, Bhima says to Arjuna, Arjuna, can you sleep on this side? Let me sleep in the middle, he says. He said, okay. Arjuna moved on to the other side. So after a while, when they started sleeping, Bhima went up to Krishna and touched him and asked Krishna, have you slept? Krishna says, no, I haven't slept. He says, I'm going to sleep, he says. So Bhima says to Krishna, have you touched my body and had a look at it? He says, hey, what happened? Krishna says, just touch it and see what happened. When he touched Bhima's body, all the bones were shattered everywhere. The whole body has completely lost its strength. Because everywhere, Jarasandha's powerful blow has smashed the bones into pieces. And he is carrying this more or less like someone who has been smashed by this blow from Jarasandha, that has really fractured his body into pieces. So what do you think? Bhima says to Krishna, I don't think I can do anything about it. And then Bhima got very emotional and says to Krishna, that what is this Rajasuyam sacrifice for? To glorify you, isn't it? He says to Krishna. So Krishna gets all the glories. Okay, fine. Secondly, who will get the credit for performing this? Yudhishthira Maharaj, my elder brother, he gets it. And who gets all the blows? Bhima has to get it. He says to Krishna like this. Krishna is smiling. Why didn't you tell me this from the first day itself? That if you can't do this, why didn't you tell me that? He says. Krishna says to Bhima. Bhima didn't have any answer. And immediately what did Bhima say? That, let me tell you one thing, he says to Krishna. Tomorrow morning, you won't see me here. I'm going. He said, I can't do this, he said. You won't find me to fight with Jarasandha. But Krishna says, you should have told me this before. Why did you keep quiet? You could have told me this from the beginning that I can't. Then I would have fought with Jarasandha, he says. And then saying this, Krishna touched Bhima's body all over, gave just one message and says to Bhima, go and sleep now and get up in the morning and see what we can do. If you can't fight, I'll take it or Arjuna will take it. Don't worry about it, he says. One message on Krishna's, on Bhima's body. Bhima went to sleep. When he got up in the morning, you should have seen Bhima at that time. Krishna asked Bhima, do you want us to take over? Bhima says, you want to take over? He says, that 27 days I smashed Jarasandha. I know what to do with him, he says. So where did this courage come from? Krishna knew that there was a pride in Bhima's heart, that I can smash Jarasandha in a day or two. Krishna wanted to get rid of that pride. So in order to do that, the pride has to go. He had to get beaten by Jarasandha. We are also like that. Our pride is also so strong in us. So Krishna keeps beating us all the time. Every time we get beaten. Once we get beaten, we'll become a little humble. And then afterwards again the pride will come back. Again we'll start acting as though we are controlling everything. Again we'll get beaten. Like this beaten whole life, by end of life we will come to our senses. Sometimes that also don't happen. We don't even come to senses. Majority of cases we don't come to senses. But a few fortunate ones will come to some sense at least at that point. That we are not in control, somebody else is controlling us. So that sense will come to them at the very end of the life. But in Bhima's case, if this can happen to Bhima, what about us? This is the question. Bhima, 27 days, this fight carried on only because of this pride, not because of anything else. Krishna wanted to smash that pride before Bhima could do it. And that is what he did. Bhima's pride lasted 27 days. On 27th day night, Bhima agreed, I can't do it. And when the pride has gone, Krishna had to just give a message and that was it. All the pain is gone and all the pride has come back again. Oh, I can handle it. He says, what will happen is, now I've beaten him 27 days. Now if I hand over to you or to Arjuna, you will beat him. And then you'll go back and say that you have beaten him. I don't want that, Bhima says now. All this is in the Bhagavatam. I can show it to you how it is all explained in the way Sudeva Goswami puts it to Parikshit Maharaj. It's very, very, very nicely. And so Bhima got ready to fight that day. And he got in the right time. They went to fight into the arena. They started fighting. Again, Bhima and Jarasandha were started fighting. After a while also, Bhima cannot beat him. Bhima's finding it difficult. And Bhima was losing his strength a little bit. Krishna is watching that. Even after Krishna has given so much strength to Bhima, still Krishna was seeing that Bhima was finding it difficult to beat Jarasandha. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read there, there are some words what Sudeva Goswami uses there, says here, that verse number 32 will say, Ayam duvaya so tulyo nadi satto nami sama arjunona bhaved yoda bhima stulya mamo mama ittitva bhima senaya prada ayam ahadim gadam. Then verse 40, Evam dayon maharaja yudhyado saptavim shari dina indragam satra suhurdran nishadishtado. Suhurdvan nishadishtado, that in the night time they were friends, each other. There was no enmity between Jarasandha and Bhima. So on this 28th day, when Krishna saw that Bhima had no clue how to beat Jarasandha, Krishna immediately decided to tell Bhima what to do. He took a small piece of wood from the tree and took it and split it into two from the bottom like this and broke it up and put it backwards and showed it to Bhima while fighting was going on. Bhima understood that Krishna wouldn't do such a thing unless there is something important. So during the fight, Bhima was intelligent enough to see that that he has taken a small piece of wood and split it into two from the bottom and turned upside down and put it together. So what does that mean? Krishna, before anything he could say anything, Bhima put his left foot, kicked Jarasandha down, pushed him down on the floor, on the ground, put his left foot on his right foot and took the left foot of Jarasandha and pulled it up and split Jarasandha into two pieces. Pulled Jarasandha into two pieces, and this was the only way you could kill Jarasandha. There was no other way. If you have beaten him with club night and day, still he won't die. He's so powerful. It was a benediction given to Jarasandha. Only Krishna knew about this. No one else knew about it. Because Krishna is Supreme Personality, situated in everyone's heart, knows everyone's activities, everyone's past record, everyone's future activities, everything known to Krishna. So Krishna, knowing very well all these things, told Bhima what has to be done, and Bhima did not take any more time to finish this Jarasandha's business. Not only that, once you have split Jarasandha's body into two, the two legs were pulled in either direction, opposite directions, and the whole body was split exactly half throughout. And if you have put it back, it will again join together. So that is why Krishna said that it has to be brought upside down. In other words, Jarasandha's head should come to the leg of the other part, and the leg should stay into the head side. Otherwise, it will join again. This was known to Krishna. So Krishna mentioned this to Bhima. Krishna showed this to Bhima. Bhima understood and did exactly what Krishna has told him to do. Jarasandha was killed. As soon as Jarasandha was killed, why did Krishna come here, first of all? There was another mission, if you remember. 20,800 kings were imprisoned by Jarasandha in his palace, isn't it? These 20,800 kings, what would they do? Their offense was that Jarasandha was asking them to join him in his fight against Krishna before. And because they did not agree to do that, Jarasandha has imprisoned them. And not only has imprisoned them, he has decided to sacrifice them to his deity, Bhairava. At some point, Narabali, they performed Narabali. Like yesterday, we were discussing this in the Bhagavad Gita, that this nature, how did this come? Jarasandha is also following the Vedic scriptures. And Vedic scriptures are giving different understanding to different people. Why is that? That Jarasandha had such a worship, deity worship. His deity was this Bhairava, and he believed in offering sacrifice, human body, human life to that deity. This all comes from the lower modes of nature. Jarasandha's modes of nature was like that. In the lower modes of nature, such worship comes about. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's also Krishna says that, isn't it? Yandi deva prada devan, pidri yandi pidri prada, bhudani yandi buddhijya, madbhudani ajimam. So, according to the one's mode of nature, one will get attracted to a particular form of worship. That is known in the Shastram, it is referred to. So here Jarasandha's problem was this. The Jarasandha's history is, his father was known as Brihadratha. He was a king by the name Brihadratha. This Brihadratha did not have any children, have no children. So he started, started performing penances, austerities in the forest. And one time, Gautama Maharshi's son, known as Chanda Kaushika, another sage, came that way. So our Brihadratha, that is Jarasandha's father, told this sage, Chanda Kaushika, about his unhappiness in life of not having to have any children, because the kings are always worried about their continuity. Ordinary people, they don't have much to worry about, but the kings and the royal family, they are worried about the continuity of the royal family. So they wanted a successor, and Brihadratha was very much in grief because of this. He mentioned this to this sage, Chanda Kaushika. Chanda Kaushika handed over him a fruit and told him, take this home and give it to your wife. And in due course, she will become pregnant and you will have a son. So accordingly, Brihadratha brought it home, handed it over to his senior most queen, the wife, and gave it to her. But what happened in the family was that this Brihadratha had another wife, And these two wives, the senior one and the junior one, they were very friendly together. So the senior one thought, it's not proper for me to eat on my own. Let me share this with my sister, the other wife, the co-wife of Jarasandha. So they shared, co-wife of this Bhadrada. They shared this fruit. The result was that both of them became pregnant. And not only they became pregnant, after when they delivered the baby, each was half of one body. The two halves have come out from that, and both were dead. Dead bodies. They came out from that. Now, the wives started discussing what to do about this. The Brihadrata was not aware that they had shared this fruit between them. So, the senior wife thought that if I mention this to Brihadrata, maybe I'll be in trouble, what I've done. So, she called the servant maids and told them to take both these two pieces into the forest and leave it there. And get it off the body from there. So when this was done, they did that, and the body parts of these two bodies were lying in the forest. So in the forest, there was one particular deity which Brihadrata's families used to worship. And this deity, particular deity whom they saw these two pieces coming from Brihadrata's home. So this deity was aware of this problem with these two bodies, what pieces. She brought them together and joined them. And so, and chanted this mantra called Jiva Jiva. Let life come to it. And immediately the life developed in that body. And that deity was called Jara, who actually joined these two bodies together. So the name of this personality who was born from that, who is going to give the name? You cannot give any name. Nobody was there to perform any name-giving ceremony or anything like that. No annaprasnam, no namakaranam, nothing like that. The child was born and he was called Jarasandha. Because Jara joined them together, so the name was given as Jarasandha. So this is Jarasandha's past life. That is how it's originated everything from. So all these things are known to Krishna. And Krishna knew the only way to kill Jarasandha was in this particular way. So that was all done. As soon as the Jarasandha was killed, Krishna called Jarasandha's son, Sahadeva, and told him to bring the key. For the prison. Open the prison. When the prison opened, these 20,800 kings came out from inside. When they came out, what did they see? They saw Krishna standing there. They saw. All of them paid their obeisances to Krishna. Because when their representative went to see Krishna in Dwaraka, what did Krishna say to the representative? Thinking that the kings may not believe that Krishna will kill them, he sent a message in a different way. He sent a message like this: Gharayishyami magadam. I will not kill, but I'll make sure Jarasandha is killed. That was the message. Gharayishyami magadam. That message was there, and that only on the word of that Krishna's word that they were passing their time in the prison. You can imagine all these kings are very powerful kings, 20,800 of them. And Jarasandha has tortured them in the prison. Prison means torture, isn't it? It's always, we say A class, B class, C class and all that. But at the end, once you are in there. And then your freedom is taken out. But they were not A class, they were C class prisoners. Jarasandha did not give them much food to eat because he didn't want them to get strong. All he wanted was there was enough life so that they could just hand them over for the sacrifice. That's all he wanted. They didn't have good clothes on. They were in starvation. Virtually they have suffered heavily in Jarasandha's hands. So that was their situation. Now, when they came out of the prison, you can imagine their gratitude, their happiness inside. And there, Krishna was standing there, smiling at them. What did they do? Fell down on the ground. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramalpane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Nama. That was their prayers to Krishna. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramalpane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Nama. That says to Krishna that please give us liberation. We had enough of this in this world. We have experienced what opulence is when we were kings. We have experienced what power means. All that we had gone through. And now we have realized this also. what is misery means in this world. We don't want any of these things anymore. We want to get out from this world. This was there. And you have shown us this compassion to us. Please, we never thought, when we had wealth, power and everything, we never thought of coming to you and taking your shelter. At that time we were thinking we were all powerful personalities. But this one lesson what we have got is enough for us to surrender unto you. We have no more desire anything to be performed in this world. Please send us back to the spiritual world. This was their prayers to Krishna. So it may appear when you read this that they were very detached. They became renounced. Renunciation is necessary to understand Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it's a bit difficult. So Krishna says to them, I see your renunciation. But this renunciation what you have is because of all the beating what Jarasandha has given to you. It will not last very long, he says. As now that you are released, this renunciation will also go after a while. We also get renounced sometime when you are in distress, isn't it? You become a little renounced. And then after that things change, all that renunciation also go again back to the same old materialistic way of life, starts again. So here the same thing was happening with these kings also. Krishna says to them that it's good that you are feeling so renounced. And I know why this renunciation has come. It has come only because Jarasandha has really tortured you in the prison. Because of that some renunciation has come to you. But I will give you liberation, but not now. Go back to the palace and continue with your service, what you are doing there. Live there and execute your service as kings and continue with your kingdom, because all the family members are there, wives and children and all that, and they are all expecting you to come back. Afterwards, you should all come to Rajasuya sacrifice in Indraprastham. Yudhishthira Maharaj is performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. You should all come there, says Krishna to them. Krishna says this to the kings. And he says to Bhima, it should be you who should be inviting them, not me. I am from Dwaraka, you are from Indraprastham. It's you and your brother who is performing Rajasuyam. And says to Bhima to invite them all. So Bhima invites them in an official level. In an official capacity, Bhima invites them all to come to Rajasuyam sacrifice. So they were all invited there. They all went back to their own palaces. You may wonder why this was done. When we talked about 16,100 wives Krishna has married, I mentioned why Krishna did that. In order to give some position, status in the society for those girls, the princesses, Krishna decided to marry them and take them to Dwaraka. Otherwise Krishna knew that their future was very bleak in the social conditions prevailed then. So to save them, Krishna did that. Similarly, in this particular situation, Krishna has thought not only about them, only these kings. Krishna's mind has gone little bit further about his children and the family who are at the palaces. This one particular quality, only in Krishna's appearance, Krishna has exhibited this. Not in any other incarnation you will find this. Malsim, Gopam, Varaham, Narsimham, Vamanam and all that, great, great incarnations. But in none of them you will find the Supreme Personality of Godhead showing a concern even for the family members to such an extent. Sending all of them back to the family so that those who are bereaved or who are grieving at home, they also feel happiness. To them, Krishna wanted to bring them also into happiness, to give them some happiness in life. So send them back to the palace again, to their respective kingdoms. They went back to their respective kingdoms. So after that, when all this was over, that Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna, all three of them were going back to Indraprastham. While going back, if you look in the Bhagavatam, you will find an interesting explanation given there. If you look on chapter 73, verse number 34, where they are on their way back, Bhima, Arjuna and Krishna, they are on their way back to Indraprastham. So when they went back to Indraprastham, as soon as he arrived at the outskirts of the city, Krishna blew his conch shell. When he blew the conch shell, everybody understood that Krishna has come back victorious. So the whole population who were waiting for Rajasuyam to start, they immediately started talking about Krishna, that Krishna has killed Jarasandha as promised. And Bhima felt a little unhappy about it. I have beaten 27 days, I got smashed by Jarasandha, and I beaten him and killed him. Now Krishna is taking all the credit for this. So what you can notice there is, while coming back, Bhima wanted to tell Yudhishthira that it's me who has done it. That's why it says there in that verse, Abhivandyada Rajanam Bhima Arjuna Janardhanam. Bhima in the front, Arjuna in the middle, Janardhana, Krishna is at the back. That's how they are coming back. But did you see when they were going, how they were going? If you look in the verse, if you look chapter 73, verse 27, verse 27, when they were going to fight, Ityudaramadi Praha, Krishna Arjuna Vrigodaran. Krishna was in the front, Arjuna was in the middle, and Bhima was at the end. And now when they are coming back, Bhima wanted to be in the front. Bhima Arjuna Janardana. Why? That pride, arrogance has come back again. I have done it. Still not feeling comfortable enough to agree that Krishna has done it. So Sukadeva Goswami has given a little indication of that travel of Bhima, Arjuna and Krishna towards Magadha and returning from Magadha. While going, it was Krishna, Arjuna, Vrigodara. While coming back, Bhima, Arjuna, Janardana. Arjuna is in the middle and either way. But Krishna has to go from front to the back, and Bhima has come into the front. This is something interesting you can see there. That how the pride that builds up in one's heart, Krishna is all the time, because they are devotees, Krishna wants to get rid of that pride from them. For those who are not surrendered to Krishna, they continuously build up this pride and arrogance inside all through the life, and at the end they have get victimized by themselves. So Shastra is telling us, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us all these things, that Krishna, all these pastimes are meant to educate the human society, to tell the human society that this is the authority of Krishna. Krishna's control on living entity is total. Nobody can check that. Nobody can question that. Nobody has any capacity to do anything about it. Krishna is in complete control of all the living entities. And just like Rajasuyam was planned in order to destroy, to start the Mahabharata war. Rajasuyam was the preparatory ground for Mahabharata war. Basically, that was the goal of Rajasuyam. Krishna doesn't want any recognition from anyone. He thought Rajasuyam is a golden opportunity to create that enmity between Duryodhana as well as Yudhishthira Maharaj. And that Yudhishthira was a devotee. So in spite of that, Yudhishthira had no enmity towards Duryodhana. But Krishna knew that so long as Yudhishthira is like this, it's impossible to change Yudhishthira's heart. So easiest thing is to engage Duryodhana and develop enmity in Duryodhana's heart against Yudhishthira. And all that was achieved by Rajasuyam. That was the purpose of Rajasuyam. And this Rajasuyam is going to start now. When Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima came back to the palace, fully victorious after killing Jarasandha, Yudhishthira Maharaj was very, very pleased. Yudhishthira Maharaj was very, very pleased. So, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was very pleased, and not only that, the Rajasuyam sacrifice has to begin now. Everybody was invited from all over. All the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, everyone was invited. All the kings were invited. And all the important people, they were told that Rajasuyam is going to be performed. Those days, obviously, you have to remember, people were more in tune with the Vedic culture. The result was many of them were very much aware of the great, great sacrifices. There are many, many great sacrifices mentioned in the Karmakandam. Sometimes we think Karmakandam is all, we are above Karmakandam, we reject it, isn't it? But if you know little bit about Karmagandam, you will also find it how interesting it is. Karmagandam is, it is all in the Vedas, so you cannot continuously reject it. But as devotees, we think that Karmagandam is not helpful for our spiritual advancement. From the spiritual side, from devotional platform, Karmagandam is not helpful. But from the Vedic point of view, Karmagandam has a value. And that is that Karmagandam, those who are absorbed in that, for them, there were great personalities in this Karmagandam tradition. Who are nowadays, of course, it has gone, most of them have left, and there is no one as trained also. But in those days, because Karmagandam was very much practiced by the people, this Rajasvayam sacrifice has attracted many, many, many people's attention. They all wanted to be there. They all wanted to be there. It is something like you can say an Olympics or something. In strictly speaking, it is even in a much larger scale, because everybody is invited. You don't have to be specifically told you are invited. Why do you have to say to people you are only invited with a letter? Because you are not afford to invite everyone else, isn't it? That is why you do that. You are not able to invite everybody else. Actually, if you want to feed everyone, you should invite everybody and offer them a nice feast. But here, because it's Krishna is managing, Krishna decided to invite everyone for this Rajasvayam sacrifice. Because in Rajasvayam, Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to glorify Krishna and further things after that, what was going to happen. So everybody was invited for Rajasvayam sacrifice. When they all come, how can Yudhishthira manage anything? Where is the accommodation for all these people? Facilities for them? But Krishna says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, there is nothing to worry about it. I have brought the right people to do the job. And Maya was instructed to build the accommodation. This Maya has come from the heavenly planets. He was brought in by Krishna. And request to Maya was, as much accommodation was want required, should be ready as and when it is required. And that is how much time Maya needed to build the housing complex or whatever that was. So Maya was instructed like this. All these people, Krishna is giving them the power. You have got the ability to do it, do it. And along with that, the authority was given. That's all what was required. Nothing else was needed. So Maya has built some palaces, and their description, just to see those palaces, people were coming from all over. There was no wood used anywhere. Everything was ivory. Wherever wood was to be used, it was ivory was substituted for that. Wherever bricks were to be used, it was stones and jewels that was used in building those palaces. So you can imagine how the expense involved in that. But Maya had no shortage. These 16,108 Mahalakshmis have come with Krishna. And their wallets were full. And one wallet, one of them is enough to build another 10 Rajasuyams they could perform with that. That is the kind of personalities who are accompanying Krishna. Krishna has no shortage of wealth. We have shortage of, our purse is always empty. We need to keep filling it. But Krishna's purse is never empty. It is always so full that when he wants to do something, he doesn't need any of this massive organization behind it to execute the project. For us, if we want to perform one Janmashtami festival for one day in a year, the preparation goes on for 6 months, hundreds of people working for it day and night to feed all these people who come on Janmashtami day for one day, you have to put so much energy. But in Krishna's case, millions and millions are coming from everywhere because they were all wanted to be there for this, heard about Rajasuyam, and they wanted to witness Rajasuyam. So they have come. Everyone was accommodated. Everyone was provided the best facility. And even seeing the facility that was given to them, they were in shock. They have not seen this anywhere, this opulence before. Have you slept any time on an ivory bed? I haven't. The best beds I have slept, even maximum I can say mahogany or teak wood, nothing better than that. And the modern beds are mostly plastic, worse than even mahogany or the wooden beds. So this is our highest standard, you can say. Okay, we have got some pneumatics and electronics to control the door opening and closing and all that. That is a little bit advanced technology what we have. And that's what we are satisfied with. But here, you could see the opulence of Krishna's exhibition of opulence there was sufficient to know everyone who there. They were amazed by that opulence, what Krishna has shown there. Seeing the beds and seeing the buildings, what was built with jewels and stones, There was no brick anywhere. There was light and illumination all over coming from these jewels. All this is discussed in Rajasuyam, in Mahabharatam, as well as in the so many other Rajasuya Prabandham. Sri Rajarani Swamiji also mentions about that. Krishna just decided to exhibit his opulence. And as much accommodation as necessary for as many people who have come to participate in Rajasuyam. That is what has happened. So this Rajasuyam was going to go on, start. So normally, Maya was given the responsibility. That's all. Krishna told Maya, do this, that's your problem, you do it. You will get everything what you need and you continue doing it. So you can imagine, if Krishna gives you Krishna empowers you or authorizes you to do something, there is no problem. Everything comes automatically, isn't it? There is no. Otherwise, what do we have to do? We have to go for quotations from the lowest bidder and highest bidder. All these things we have to get. We have to have meetings so that nobody is trying to make money out of it. All these deals, contractual work, all these things. What goes on in this world all the time? But Maya's case, there is no contract work or anything. Maya just builds it. He has been given the ability to do that. He carries on building. Materials are coming. Enough sufficient. And time, not much time. In a few hours, everything was built. What was required. So, that's Krishna. When it was all built, the next thing what they did was, Yudhishthira Maharaj had to go and take the blessings from the elders. Bhishma Pitamaha, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and everyone else. Yudhishthira Maharaj goes and pays his respects to them and takes their permission, Kunti Devi and all that. And after that, all the qualified people who have to perform this sacrifice, that's also a big thing to do. And to get these qualified, of course those days, qualified Brahmanas were available. Brahmanas were available, but Rajasuyam is a very difficult thing to execute. That you can only understand when you see the complexity of the whole process of Rajasuyam. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj decided to do this, it took a long time. Krishna arranged everyone, and some of them who were not present here were brought from the heavenly planets to assist Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuyam sacrifice. If you ask, when did the Rajasuyam before that happens? As far as the literature available today in the Puranas, you can only find there was one Rajasuyam performed previously in the heavenly planets by Varuna. Varuna is the demigod of the water. He has performed one Rajasuyam previously, and Krishna was present there also. So he knew about that. And that's the only thing you find, because Rajasuyam is such a difficult sacrifice to perform. There are many other simpler sacrifices like Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajaveyam, and so many others, lasting few days, and with specific purposes also. So these are all part of the Karmakandam. These are all coming from the Karmakandam. So anyway, the sacrifices has to start now. So after everything was organized, Krishna was also busy. Now, this is another interesting thing. Everyone who comes for the sacrifice, what will they be looking for? You have to think in their way also, the visitors who are coming. Generally, people who go for these big, big sacrifices, one or two important things they will always take very serious note of. I don't know whether you have thought about sacrifices, because if you understand Karmakandam and see these sacrifices, if you have witnessed any sacrifice, only then you will know it, how important these two things are. One thing is that they will all be very particular how prasadam was served. This you cannot say that everyone will not take notice of. The prasadam, they would like to have the best. And on the strength, quality of the prasadam, of the food, what is served, they will judge the sacrifice. They will judge even the sacrifice. In fact, when Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken, sometimes many, many big temples do this. They conduct Srimad Bhagavatam recitation and lectures for days together, sometimes few weeks or few months. There's a certain system for that. And when they perform, the system is that you have to feed everyone who comes to attend the program, who comes to attend the Srimad Bhagavatam classes. You have to feed everybody. That is the system. Prasadam should be given to everyone according to your capacity. And many people do that also. But sometimes people will come for the for this Srimad Bhagavatam classes, and they will attend the classes, and they'll take prasadam. And if you ask somebody, how did you like the program? Oh, it was first class, the prasadam was so good, they'll say. In other words, what has happened is, he has come and he sat there and listened, but it didn't bother him much what was going on. Prasadam he was very concerned about. So in his opinion, he will say at the end, prasadam was first class, he said. So this is how people are. That you can't do anything, that is the nature of the world. So Krishna knew this, that that department has to be first class. That cannot be anywhere, in any way, lack anything, the prasadam department. So what did Krishna do? Krishna called Bhima and told Bhima, you are in charge of that. He says to Bhima, you are in charge of that. And anything what you need, you will be given. You don't have to worry about it. And you know, in Rajasuyam, it was not one kitchen. He had to build hundreds of kitchens because the amount of people they had come, number one. Number two, you can't use the same place for morning, midday and evening. By the time morning service is over, again the midday offering, midday prasadam is distributed. The whole place has to be cleaned up, fresh leaves and food and everything has to be brought in. So hundreds and hundreds of kitchens had to be built. Maya was continuously building and Bhima was taking responsibility for all the kitchen, cooking everywhere, had to go simultaneously. And prasadam has to be there all the time, three times a day they had to, Bhima had the responsibility to feed them. Continuous supply of food, from where the food was coming nobody knew, it was continuously coming. Bhima was in charge of the kitchen and cooking was going on continuously and people were fed like anything, they never got fed like this before. That was Krishna's mercy. Krishna said, let them have it. Rajasuya will make it first class, he thought. Krishna thought like this. And our Yudhishthira Maharaj was watching all these things, unable to say anything to Krishna about it. And then, what is the next thing people will worry about? That's also you have to think about. Every sacrifice, there is one activity which is very important. That is the charity at the end. What charity is given? Brahmanas come for this, not only Brahmana, all the others are also given charity at the end. So when you bring people for Rajasuyam, after you feed them nicely, before they leave, you have to give them in charity a lot of wealth, whatever you can afford according to your capacity. You have to give them charity. You can imagine to give charity to all these people. What charity can you give? You can't even give them £1 each because there are so many of them. That is how it is. And here, Krishna decided who should give the charity. Krishna looked at who should be the right person to manage charity. He called Karna and told Karna, you will be responsible for the charity. Why? Because Karna is known as a charitable person. So charitable that he is known throughout Mahabharatam. No one is higher than Karna as well as charity is concerned. You can ask Karna anything. If he has it, he'll give it to you. He won't care anything. And because of that, he got into trouble also, which you know in Mahabharatam what happened. So our Karna was made responsible. You have to remember at that time, although Duryodhana, Karna, Shakuni, Dushasana, all these do, all of them were together against the Pandavas, the relationship was still friendly to extend that. The envy was there in Duryodhana's heart, very envious. And that envy was building up, seeing this opulence of Yudhishthira Maharaj's opulences, all because of Krishna. So our Duryodhana and Karna, they are close family members, Kauravas and the Pandavas, they are close members, isn't it? All coming from the same family root. So naturally, when you have such a big function in the family, they have to help, isn't it? Duryodhana and the members of the other family has to help the Pandavas. So Krishna also thought, let me take advantage of this. So he says to Karna, you are in charge of the charity. There is no one better than you. And then, what did Krishna do? He says to Duryodhana, you are in charge of the finance. Dana, Dhaksha, Suyodhana. Srimad Bhagavatam says like that. Suyodhana or Duryodhana was made in charge of the wealth. Why did Krishna do this? There is a reason for that also. Reason is this. Krishna knew that Duryodhana will do anything to make this Rajasuya bankrupt. Completely go bankrupt and stop it. Because the enemy was inside so strongly. So what did Krishna do? Krishna said, let me make Duryodhana in charge of the finance department or the what you call the Inland Revenue or the
Treasury.
Treasury, yes, Treasury. Make in charge of that. And between these two, Duryodhana and Karna, they will do what is necessary to destroy Rajasuyam. And I will show them what I am going to do. So Krishna has also made, Krishna can read through Duryodhana's heart like a clean slate, what's going on inside, as he knew all of our heart also in the same way. So Krishna says to Duryodhana, Dhana, Deksha, Suyodhana, that Duryodhana was made in charge of the treasury, and Karna was made in charge of the charity. So what will happen is, now and then, Krishna will come, by now, the taxes have come from different kings who have surrendered. And these taxes, Rajasuyam says there, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they were brought in cards, gold coins. Tons and tons of gold coins were brought, because that is how much it was required for the charity purposes. So in order to store all this, they have dug underneath the ground a huge area, and there, this was all unloaded. All these gold coins are unloaded, and they were stored there in massive bags, sufficient quantity. And now and then, Krishna will come there to see how everything is going on. So he'll go and talk to Duryodhana. He'll say to Duryodhana, how are things going? He says, is there enough money? What we do require anything more? Duryodhana will say to Krishna, I suppose we have enough. But he won't give a definite answer. Because the plan was inside with Karna to destroy the whole thing. So now and then, Krishna will come and he will have a glance around the treasury and go back. But meanwhile, the Rajasuyam is going on and people are given charity. So the plan was, Karna will say how much charity is to be given. Karna will say to Duryodhana, this is how much I plan to give to this person in charity. And being a very charitable person, he won't minimize it. He will give as much as he could to show that how charitable he is. Okay, it's not too bad to do charity on somebody else's cost. As long as you are doing charity at someone else's cost, it's not too bad. So, there is an interesting activity. This happens all the time. Sometimes disciples also do this on the account of the spiritual master. Spiritual master's wealth, they give it freely to everybody and say, oh, how magnificent you are, they are saying to the spiritual master also about it. It has happened a few times in the history. So anyway, here what has happened was, Duryodhana says to Karna, Karna says to Duryodhana, that this is how much I have decided to give it to this person. So Karna says, can we make it a little bit more than that? Because it's not proper for, you know, the status of Yudhishthira Maharaj and Krishna and all that. If we give so little, what will they say about us? We should give a little bit more, he says. Duryodhana says, definitely, we should be giving a lot more than that. Like these two together were working all the time to finish up the treasury as quickly as possible. And in the middle, they want to pull out, saying that, Rajasuyam, we can't do, we have no money. And to bring a bad name to Yudhishthira Maharaj. This was the whole intention behind it. And who knew this better than anyone else? Krishna knew this. So Krishna is keeping an eye on the situation all the time. And Krishna, they did not know that Krishna has come here with 16,108 Mahalakshmis with him. Each one of them had the wealth of another hundreds of Rajasuyams they could perform with the wealth what they had. Krishna was not shaken by these plans of Duryodhana or by Karna. But in order to make Duryodhana also to participate in the Rajasuyam and make him feel very responsible, he gave. If you give the treasury to someone, that person gets very happy, isn't it? Even you can see today also in the democratic government, when the prime minister takes over, who does he appoint the first? The finance minister, isn't it? Isn't today it is like that? Who is the chancellor of the exchequer? That's what they refer to first. Why? Because it is in his hand, everything controlled. All others have to come to him begging for money, whether it is health, education or whatever, defense, they all have to come to him. And if he says, okay, you can have it, you can have it. Otherwise you don't get it. It is difficult because he will manipulate the figures in such a way that you are not going to get what you want. So your survival in your minister position also depends on this so-called finance minister to some extent. So it's a powerful position in the ministry. So Krishna thought, if I offer this to Duryodhana, he will think that I am giving a lot of credit to him, important position to him. And even though such a devious plan is going through his mind to destroy Rajasuyam. So Krishna's plans work far ahead than us, what we think about it. So Rajasuyam was going to start like this. And so this was decided, who is going to manage the charity side, which is important. That is our, the food side was decided, Bhimasena will manage. The charity side was decided that Duryodhana and Karna will manage together. So all these things were sorted out. Krishna is appointing all these people. Yudhishthira Maharaj couldn't handle all these things. It was too much for the amount of people who were coming and the responsibility involved. Yudhishthira Maharaj said to the first day itself to Krishna that it is up to you now how to handle the situation. I do not know anything, and said like this and stayed back from there. So Rajasuyam has to carry on. What was the next thing? The charity was decided and the food part was decided. Those are the two important ones. There are so many other things also which are to be taken care of. Accommodation was organized through Maya. Everything was taken care of. And then for the sacrifice, the Homakundam or the Yagashala has to be prepared. So while preparing for this Yagashala or the sacrificial arena, if you say like that, that has to be prepared. In order to prepare that, the place has to be so clean and pure. Not in our terms, using chemicals or anything cleaning. What it is where the sacrifice happens, that land should be plowed properly. And plowing should be done with the golden plow. So you can imagine, with the golden plow, they had to plow this whole land. Why? You know what? After plowing, they had to take out anything impurities underneath the ground, like the human hair or bones and things like that. Everything should be taken out and the place should be purified. The success of any sacrifice depends on the ingredients. Number one, the ingredients is important. Purity of the ingredients. The brahmanas who chant the mantras. The purity of the place. And the wealth that you are willing to spend for the sacrifice. All these are part of the success of this Rajasuyam sacrifice. Of this great sacrifice. So Krishna had to make sure that everything was provided according to the needs. So after this was organized, the sacrifice, then Krishna has made sure that this plowing has carried on and everything was cleaned up, and Sadasya, Ritviks, Brahman, Adhuryu, these are the different personalities, there's a number of them who are responsible for the sacrifice, who has to chant the mantras and who knows all the ritualistic procedures. It's all rituals. Beginning to end, it is ritual. Day in and day out, lasting 17 months and 17 days, you can imagine how sophisticated the ritualistic activities are. And who are all there, that also you have to see. Because Krishna was there, all Krishna's friends have come. Who are these friends? Not our type, people like us, all the great sages. They have all come. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take and look at the list, what's given there, those sages who have come for this, this festival, or this Rajasuyam sacrifice, you will see how impressive the list is. Chapter 74, verse 6, it begins from there. Shri Shuka Uvacham ityuktva yajñe kale vavre yuktan sahritvija Krishna anumodita patho brahmanan brahmavadinah Dvaivayano Bharadvaja Subandhu Gaudamosida Vasishtashyavana Kannu Maitreya Kavashastridaha Vishwamitro Vamadeva Sumadirjayminikradu Paila Parasharu Gargo Vaishambayana Evacham Atharva Kashyapo Daumyam Ramo Bhargava Asuri Vidihotro Madhuchanda Viraseno Agradavranaha Ubahuda Sadajani Drona Bhishma Kripadaya Dhridharashtra Sahasudo Vidurascha Mahamadi Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra Yajna Didurkshava Tatreyu Sarva Rajano Rajyam Prakrutayo Nruvam. There is only a few important ones mentioned there. Because you have to remember here that Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit. And Sukadeva Goswami does not want to elaborate this Rajasuyam, because Sukadeva Goswami says it's too big a topic to cover here. And he only says there that I have another scene, only one Rajasuyam I have seen before. Sudeva Goswami says there to Parishit, that was this Rajasuyam of Varuna. That's what I have seen before. And this is the second one I am seeing, he says. I have not seen. And he leaves that rest to Parishit Maharaj to imagine what that Rajasuyam is like. He doesn't say much more than that. What is our situation? We didn't go to Varuna's Rajasuyam, we didn't go to Krishna's Rajasuyam also. We are just here, sitting here 5,000 years later and trying to understand what Rajasuyam is. So I can see, we were not so fortunate. At least there were so many people who are very fortunate who were able to go to Rajasuyam when Krishna performed, had the opportunity to be present there. So all these Krishna's friends have come. They are Krishna's friends, all these great sages. Normally they won't come like that. You can't get all of them together in one place. Even to get one of them to see them is difficult. What to talk about inviting them for a sacrifice. But because Krishna had come, they have all come. Many, all the important ones are listed there. But if you want to see the whole list, it runs into pages. Many, many other personalities who were attended Rajasuyam at that time. So all these sages had come. Why did the sages come? Because Krishna was there. The Supreme Personality was present there. They couldn't stay away. They had to come. There's no other way. Krishna has invited them, prompted them from inside to come, and they have come. That's how it is. All of us, we are forced to do one way or the other according to how Krishna is prompting us from within. Otherwise, we sometimes think, oh, I made this decision, I made that decision, this, that and the other. We always think like that. But actually, who makes the decision? Krishna makes the decision and tells us, you go and you have no other choice, you do it, that's all. And we think we have made the decision. And that's why in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find repeatedly, Vedavyasa is reminding us, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. Those who are realized, they will think that we are pushed to do things according to some higher laws of nature. That is what is influencing us to act in a particular way or the other. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. So that is how we function. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrideshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yadrarudhani mayayam. That exactly like in the cogwheel, we sit and keep on moving in this material world helplessly, not knowing why we have come here, what we are meant to do here, where we are going here. We have no clue. But all we know that we are pushed to do things one after the other. Why? Yadrarudhani mayayam. Maya, material energy under Krishna's control, is keeping all the living entities one way or the other busy from morning to night. And when in the evening, when everything is exhausted, we collapse in the bed. When we get up in the morning, we start the whole business again. So this is what material world means. There is no other choice. One hasn't got any choice. When sometimes you feel independent, you can go to the moon or Mars and look for something else there. But at the end, you come back here again. There is no shelter there also. So the sages who have great personalities, all these great personalities who are mentioned, they are all the authorities on the Vedic tradition. These great personalities, they are the authorities on the Vedic tradition. And wherever Krishna goes, they will go, because who is the originator of the Vedas? Krishna is the origin, isn't it? It is, he is the personality who gave the Vedic knowledge to all these great sages. They have, when we say like this, that actually the revelations or these, through these sages, the knowledge was revealed, spiritual knowledge was revealed. All the Vedic knowledges have been revealed through these great sages, Vishwamitra, Kanva, Bhrigu, Parashara, all those who are listed there. So they were all present there. Now, overall, what a responsibility Krishna had. Krishna has told Yudhishthira Maharaj that I will receive all the guests. In other words, when the guests come, first thing, especially these great sages, when they come, you have to wash their feet because they are such great personalities. Krishna says, I will take that responsibility. I am going to do that. So, washing the feet, that was Krishna's responsibility. Because Krishna asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, all these different people have got their own responsibility. What about me? Krishna says. So Yudhishthira Maharaj says to Krishna, I don't know what to say to you, he said. No, Krishna says, alright, if you are not going to give me any responsibility, I am going back to Dwaraka, he says. I have nothing to do here. So Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, that basically we want to honor you at the end of Rajasvayam. Okay, I'll take care of the guests then who are coming here. And Krishna goes and stands at the gate where sacrificial arena was there. That was a large area separately kept for the all these different karmas, all these sacrificial activities. So Krishna is standing at the there to receive all these sages. Sages after sages who are coming. Great, great personalities. You have to know their, only if you know their background, you will feel how great they were. Vasishtha, Vishwamitra and all that. Vasishtha is the spiritual master of the whole solar dynasty. And Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya king who became powerful by his austerities and penances, who created a complete set of heavenly planets in between our planets and the heavenly planets. And Trishangu was made to enjoy there. That history is there in the ninth canto. These are the type of personalities we are talking about. So, when these personalities come, Krishna will go and wash their feet and take the water and sprinkle it on his head to purify himself. That is how much respect Krishna has offered to these great sages. And all they wanted was to see Krishna in the sacrifice and accept the invitation. That's all. So they will come in. They were coming one after the other. They were all coming. Krishna was welcoming them. There was another intention also why Krishna stood there. Krishna knew that when people come for these different sacrifices, if you receive them nicely and speak to them, then half they are satisfied already. But when someone comes for a program, if you show completely a black face to them, completely ignore them, then naturally people also will go back with the same impression. They'll say, "Ah, everything was good. Only thing is, no one talked to us one word when we went for the program." They'll go back with this memory, isn't it? It is quite natural. It's a human nature that when you go to some place, you expect to be that the host deal with you in the proper way, just like a guest to be treated, inquire from them and about their welfare, and give them some feeling of welcome to them. But if we simply look at them, you know, "Why this botheration has come to give us trouble?" If you start looking at it, then they will not come in again afterwards. They'll say, "I had one experience, that's enough for me. I'm going now. I won't come." You'll not see them again. You'll get another set next time. So Krishna knew these things well, that he made the PR exercise very well. As soon as they came, as soon as the guests came, he received them so nicely and looked at them, smiled at them. That smile was enough. One smile from Krishna was enough. They'll fall into that. And with one of the look from the eye, it is spoken about Krishna's beauty like this. Tamalbudam balagamam bujekshanam chadurbhujam shankagadaryudhayudam shrivalsalakshmam galashobhigaustubam pidambaram sandrimayodasaubhagam. At the time of appearance itself, Sudeva Goswami mentioned about these eyes, Krishna's eyes. As soon as they see Krishna's eyes, and one smile from there, vismavanam susyaja saubhagardehe. In the third canto, Uddhava says about Krishna smiling. Krishna, sometimes, he himself is amazed by the beauty of his smile. One day, apparently by mistake, Krishna looked in the mirror and he saw his beauty and he was shocked by seeing the beauty himself. Vismavanam susyaja saubhagardehe. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam says about that. So, whatever it is, Krishna was doing this service, welcoming people. And they used to feel happy when Krishna welcomed them like this. And they all went in to the inside. But one thing they all noticed, wherever they went, Krishna was there, helping in one way or the other. How did this come about? How did this was found out? This was not found out originally. It was not easy to find this out. Krishna was in different dresses, in different places helping. In different areas, place where sacrifice was going on, Krishna was there. Place where cooking was going on, Krishna was there. Place where people were fed, Krishna was there. People were resting, Krishna was there. In so many places, Krishna was there, who was involved in everything, expanded himself in as many forms as required, just like he did with Lord Brahma, when he stole the calves and the cowherd boys. How many times Krishna had to expand? The same way, he has expanded himself here also. But how was this found out? That is most interesting thing. Nobody knew that Krishna was in disguise working in so many different places. So many kings were present there in the Rajasvayam. And in that also, there was Shishupala was also there. Now, as I mentioned before, Shishubala is Yudhishthira Maharaja's mother, who is Kunti Devi, her sister's son. Shishubala is her son, isn't it? So that means they are cousins. So this Shishubala, when he heard about this Rajasuyam sacrifice, who went to invite Shishubala? Sahadeva was sent there to invite him because they are so close relative. Although Shishubala doesn't like Krishna, he was more than happy to come for Rajasuyam because it is Yudhishthira Maharaja's Rajasuyam. Under one condition, that he doesn't have to see Krishna. That's all. That was the only condition. So, when Sahadeva told Shishubala to come, Shishubala told him, you can have as much wealth as you want from my treasury. Because Shishubala was a very, very wealthy person. As much as you want, as much as you want, you can take the wealth from here. Don't worry about it. Don't ask anything. Shishubala had plenty of wealth. Krishna has made sure that plenty Shishubala had more wealth. Why? After all, who is Shishubala? You have to remember that. Shishubala is Krishna's servant in the spiritual world. So, if in the material world, when they are performing this pastime, if Shishubala doesn't have enough wealth, on whom does it reflect? It reflects on Krishna, isn't it? After all, he is the boss there in the spiritual world. Jaya and Vijaya, they have come here as Shishubala and Dandavakra. So, Shishubala should not be short of anything. Krishna has made sure that Mahalakshmi was with Shishubala also there to help. Although Shishubala has offended Mahalakshmi there in the Vaikuntham. There he has offended. But here, Krishna has made sure that Shishubala doesn't suffer for want of wealth. And because of all this wealth, Shishubala was also feeling very happy, comfortable. So he says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, take as much wealth as you want, but don't expect me to be present there. Eventually, they negotiated a deal, Sahadeva and Shishubala. The deal was like this, that we will build a separate place for you. You come and stay there. You don't have to come for the program or anything. All the food, prasadam, whatever was necessary, will be delivered in the home. You can take it. And you can go around wherever if you feel comfortable. You don't have to come for the program. But you do whatever you like. You can stay in if you don't want to see Krishna, or go out somewhere where you think Krishna is not present. This was agreed between Sahadeva and Shishubala. And the agreement was, one day very late in the night, Shishubala will arrive, so that he will not be noticed by Krishna. This is all agreement between Sahadeva, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Shishubala. So late in the evening, Shishubala arrives there, and Sahadeva takes him to his house, wherever he was to be accommodated, and Shishubala was living there, staying there. So Sahadeva brought him in, put him in. And Sahadeva told him, are you comfortable, everything? He says, yes, everything is fine. And Shishubala is staying there. Sahadeva left. After about half an hour or so, there was a knock at the door. When Shishubala opened the door, room service, he says, Krishna is standing there with the plate, ready to offer. Krishna comes with a plate with some drinks and some sandwiches or whatever it is Krishna has brought and brings it and smiling at Shishubala. Shishubala gets angry with Krishna. Shishubala says to Krishna, shameless person, that even if I don't want to see him, he keeps coming to me, smiling at me. Says that. Complete arrogance in Shishubala, angry, envy, even if I don't want to see him, he's still there, he says. So Krishna comes and knocks the door and says, I brought this, he says. So Shishubala didn't say anything, looks at him in a very angry mood. Krishna says, what can I do? I brought, as per your order, I brought this room service, I've given it, brought it and left the plate there and walked away. You can take it as and when you want. That was Krishna's attitude. Krishna left. So Shishubala thought for a while, what am I supposed to do here? You cannot escape from him wherever he goes. But every time Shishubala recognizes him very quickly. Later on, late in the night, Shishubala decided to go out for a walk. So when he decided to go out for a walk, he thought the street was quite empty. Everyone was gone to take rest and everything was quiet. When he was walking in the street from the opposite direction, Krishna comes, walking opposite way. When they got closer, they had to decide who should give way to the other. So because it was such a narrow street. So our Shishubala turned his head in one direction. Krishna turned in the other direction. Krishna says that, let's see what happens. Shishubala also says, let me see what happens. So when they got very close, Shishubala immediately gave way to Krishna. So Krishna walked through and Shishubala also went by. Again said something about Krishna. The agreement was, 100 offenses I will accept. 100th one, your throat will go. That was the agreement, if you remember, the day, when did this happen? You have to take note of that also. If you remember in Krishna's childhood, Krishna performed this wonderful pastime known as Damodara Leela, isn't it? Damodara Leela, we celebrate that Damodara Leela in a big way. All Krishna's devotees celebrate Damodara Leela. So on that Damodara pastime, that particular day, when Krishna was tied to the mortar, that was the day, first time, Kunti Devi came to see Krishna. He came to see Krishna on that day. Krishna was standing there with the butter in the hand, tied to the mortar, and Yashoda Devi has by then exhausted by chastising Krishna and told him, I will not give you anything today to eat. You just stay here whole day, tied to this mortar. By fortunately, Krishna has kept some mortar in the hole inside the in the mortar. He has taken that out and was eating the mortar. Only 2 years old, 1.5, 2 years, that was his age at that time. And there is a lot of distress in Krishna's heart on that day, because Yashoda Devi has told him that you will not be allowed to go to play anywhere. No friends are allowed today. And unfortunately that day what all happened, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, that pastime, you will know what all happened that day. All the gopis who were complaining about Krishna's activities to Yashoda Devi, they were all coming one after the other to see. They'll come, stand in front of Krishna. Now what do you think? They will say, look at Krishna and say to him. Krishna will get angry with them. Can't say anything, he is tired. Tears will come from both the eyes. All crocodile tears, completely shedding. And it's coming out from both ears. What can I do? This was the situation. So the gopis will tease him. Gopis teased him so much on that day, saying to him, when we talked about you, complained about you, what did your mother say? Oh, my son is such a nice person. He never does anything like this. And now, when she has got the experience herself, she has decided to take some action, isn't it? They say to Krishna like this. Krishna has nothing to answer, can he? What can you answer? Because what did he do in Vrindavanam? Exactly the same thing. Expanded himself to many forms and started performing these, giving this trouble to gopis in every single house. One gopi was saying that Krishna is in my house, another gopi was saying Krishna is in my house as well. And Yashoda Devi was completely confused because Krishna was there also, in Yashoda Devi's house also. Where do you go looking for Krishna? So eventually, this is all in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami talks about this in detail with Parikshit. So eventually the same thing has happened here on that day. Gopis were coming and they were having a good time. They were just standing there and teasing him all the time. Much later, about the middle of the day, Kunti Devi comes. So Krishna is thinking, what a day she has chosen to come and see me. That Kunti Devi is Vasudev's sister, isn't it? Vasudev's sister. So when Kunti Devi comes to see Krishna, it is the Pradhama Darshanam. Pradhama Darshanam is the first time. You know, when a child is born, unfortunately, because of all the problems in the family, that due to these problems within the Kauravas and the Pandavas, Kunti Devi could not come before. So this was the first time Kunti Devi has come to see Krishna. So Krishna is saying that, is this the day that she has chosen to come and see me? Couldn't find. I am standing here in complete trouble. With tears coming from both eyes, tied to this mortar, this, that and everything. And Kunti Devi was carrying Arjuna on her hips. She was carrying Arjuna, a little boy in her. Age-wise, there is not much difference between Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna is slightly younger to Krishna. So Arjuna was there. Krishna and Arjuna saw each other first time that day. Kunti Devi spent some time, spoke to Yashoda for a while, and then she left. After that, Kunti Devi's sister had come. Who is that? Shishubala's mother. She comes with Shishubala. When they came, Shishubala at the time of birth had 4 hands. Just like in the Vaikuntha planet. He had these 4 hands with him. So it's a very peculiar form. And Krishna is standing there. And when he saw Shishubala with these 4 hands, Krishna started smiling. Seeing this. He has never seen these 4 hands any time before. That was Krishna's mood at that time. This is a very strange form, he thought. This four hands for the people, I've never seen. All of us have got only two hands. But this one with four hands, says. So Krishna was looking at Shishupala very intensely, looking at Shishupala. So when Krishna was looking at this, Shishupala's mother sensed what's the problem. Because Shishupala, when Shishupala and Krishna looked at each other, two of the Shishupala's hands fell off from there. At that time, Shishupala's mother realized Krishna is Shishupala's enemy. This was told to Shishupala's mother by a sage that when you go to visit some of your relative one day, you will find someone when these two drop hands will drop. And then you can take that person, it will be Shishupala's enemy and he will kill Shishupala. This was known to Shishupala's mother. And on also, Shishupala's mother knew that 100 offenses of Shishupala will be tolerated. After 99, when the 100th offense is spoken, Shishupala will be killed by Krishna. So all this was known to Shishupala's mother very well. So now our Shishupala is at the palace, isn't it? He is staying there. So this second experience with Krishna has happened like this. After that, Shishupala thought, now what to do? Let me walk around and see where he is not there. He won't say Krishna, he will say he is not there. That's how he will refer to him, refer to Krishna. He won't even refer, the word itself was so annoying for Shishupala to say. So you see, he won't even chant the holy name once. So difficult for him. So we are also sometimes like that, isn't it? We'll say something what is not necessary. So anyway, our Shishupala was going on like this. So first he thought, I'll go and see where all these sacrifice rituals are going on. I'll go and sit there, he said. So he goes there to watch the, because it is a very great pleasure to watch all these sacrifices. Some years ago, when Adiratram was performed, so many people came from many countries just to witness that sacrifice and the result of the sacrifice, how it came about after the particular days of practice of sacrifice. But those things are rare now because people, those who have got faith in that, or those, if you have got the qualified people to do that, only then you can perform all this. Karmagandam is not all that necessary thing in this world. You should not think, because often devotees think when we recite the 10 offenses against the holy name, we also say this about Karmagandam. But that is from another angle, Karmagandam is rejected by the devotees. From a devotional, Krishna consciousness life, Karmagandam doesn't help. But because it is a part of the Vedas, it has its own position in the Vedic literature. And majority of the Vedas is Karmagandam. That is another important thing. So, what happened was, he went to the place where the rituals were going on. And who was managing all the rituals? Vedavyasa Maharshi himself was managing the rituals. It is Vedavyasa Maharshi who has written the instruction manual, you can say, of the Rajasuyam sacrifice. Who has written that? Vedavyasa has compiled all that. So when the sacrifice is going on, often they will forget the proper thing to do. You know, in the middle, they'll get confused. What is the next thing to do? Because it is so complicated. And because it's not done, performed every day, the chances that people may tend to forget. So you see, in the deity worship process and sacrifices and all that, continuous practice is necessary. Because it involves the mind, the intelligence, the body, all the three things, isn't it? So in order to coordinate them and in a purified condition to execute that properly, otherwise results won't come. This is the difficulty. When you are executing deity worship also, even in process of deity worship, unless you have all these three things under control, the mind, intelligence and the body particularly, you cannot execute it properly. That is why in big temples, when deity worship is performed, the pujaris have to spend hours before even the deity door is open to prepare for the worship. It lasts a long time. And they have to stay aloof from everything else in this world in order to maintain that level of purity within them. Big temples, they have to do like that. So that is the Vaidhika Vidhi. I'm talking about Vaidhika Vidhi. There are different processes of deity worship also. Vaidhikam, Tandrikam, Misham, three methods. Out of that, Vaidhika Vidhi is like this. In order to execute technically in the proper way, I see, through the mantras. Vaidhikam is mantram. Tandrikam is tantram. So different ways. So whatever it is, our the sacrifice was going on, and Vedavyas was sometimes getting stuck with the rituals. So at that time, Krishna will help. Krishna will tell them, in the Varuna sacrifices, I remember what has happened. And Krishna will repeat that, what has happened. And says to Vedavyas, this is what you have to do now. This is the mantra to be chanted. And then Vedavyas will remember everything. And he will continue the sacrifice. This is how it was happening. So our Shishuvala goes there and see Krishna standing there, talking to Vedavyas about this. He says, this is not a place for me. Leaves the place, goes away from there. Then he goes where prasadam was served. At least he thought Krishna will not be there, even where prasadam was. When he goes there, what did he see there? Krishna is serving prasadam happily to someone there also. This place is also no good, he says. Then after that, Krishna, he walks away from there. He goes to the place where people were being received for the sacrifice. There, all he could see was Krishna standing there receiving people. Like this, he went from every place where there was other activities going on, so many other activities which were going on, everything was looked for by Shishuvala. He couldn't find anywhere where Krishna was not present. So what did he do at the end? He said, there will be one place, he said. I'll go and sit where all the garbage is thrown away. Because there nobody will come, only the councils, it comes early hours in the morning, it comes with all the 3-4 men around, and you have to remove all the cars in the street so that it's a royal welcome to the garbage man. So he comes. So Krishna, Shishuval says, I'll take a chair and go and sit there, he says. So he took a chair and he went and sat there. He went and sat there. At least this place must be free from Krishna, he says. He sat there. Hardly 10 minutes have gone. Krishna is coming there with all the leaves in which they were eating prasadam to put it in the bin. And whose leaves were they? You have to remember that also. These were the leaves in which the sages were eating. Krishna didn't want anyone to get the remnants from that leaf. Why? Because it will change others' karma. To such an extent, powerful personalities they were. If you eat the remnants from great personalities, that will change your life altogether. And it will also make their life different. Krishna didn't want that. That was the decision. So all this, Vishwamitra, Vasishtha, Agradavrana, and Bharadvaja, all that what you have read before, Pipalada, and so many great personalities, after they have eaten, Krishna has collected all their leaves together and bring it and putting it in the bin, and his Shishuvala is sitting there also. Imagine Shishuvala's fate, how much he feels now. He says, there is no escape, he says. No matter where you go, he is there. That's his answer. So he got so fed up, Shishuvala started walking around. Meanwhile, Krishna is, the charity is going on the one side. More and more money, gold coins, clothes, the clothes that were the most expensive clothes. You couldn't even find any ordinary clothes. Clothes and the gold that was given, being freely given in charity. And every time it was given in charity, Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling a complete emotions in his mind due to what was going through in his life. Only a few years ago, in the forest, when he was sitting there, he was in such a hopeless condition. And today, Yudhishthira Maharaj is performing Rajasuyam sacrifice. He cannot imagine himself, how did this all happen? Because of Krishna. That alone, it has happened like this. So, Rajasuyam is going on. And sacrifice, charity was given. Plenty of charity was given there. At the end, it was decided who should be worshipped in the Rajasuyam. Agrasana Puja, it is called. That at the end of the sacrifice, the chief person or the great personality who is going to be worshipped. And there was unanimous agreement between the Pandavas that it should be Krishna, no one else. So Krishna was offered a special offer seat, and the arati was going to be performed to Krishna, everything then. And Dakshina has to be given to him by Yudhishthira Maharaj. So everything was brought for Yudhishthira Maharaj to hand over to Krishna. Vedavyasa Maharaj is standing next to him to chant all the mantras related with the offering. At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj completely lost control of himself. Thinking about this mercy, what Krishna has shown to him, he was crying and he was offering this. Even while chanting the mantra, it was not coming out properly. Because to chant the mantras is difficult, unless you are properly trained by someone. But because of all the emotions, even that was not coming out properly. Anyhow, it was all offered to Krishna. At that time, Shishupala was there, present in that assembly. Great Greek kings were there. Shishupala got up from there and started abusing Krishna. Started saying that, why have you selected him to be worshipped? Who is he? This, that and the other. There is a continuous number of verses in the Bhagavatam, Shishupala continuously blasting Krishna. Immediately Bhimasena got up from there and told him to shut up. He wouldn't agree. It became violent more and more aggressive. Actually, what you have to remember is that when all these things were going on, Shishupala's heart was beating. I have been separated from him for so long a time. 3 lifetimes I have been away from him. It is time for me now to go back to him. That desire was building up very strongly inside. That is how Krishna is. When you want to bring you back to the spiritual world, at the last minute, that desire will come very strongly in your heart. And exactly the same thing happened to Shishupala also. But what to do? The devotion, what has been given to Shishupala is inimical devotion. Not kind of devotion that Yudhishthira Maharaj had. Yudhishthira Maharaj's devotion is one kind. Shishupala's devotion is another type. Shishupala, so he has to blast Krishna. He has no choice. He has to do it. Otherwise, I will miss this chance if I don't do it now. This was going through Shishupala's mind. So Shishupala spoke very heavily. But Krishna is so kind to Shishupala. Whatever he has spoken, if you properly analyze it, it is all glorification to Krishna. In other words, even the language what was coming out from Shishupala's tongue was so nicely controlled by Krishna that nothing was offensive in that, although everyone who heard it thought that it was real blasphemy of Krishna. So Shishupala continued this, and others started getting up to control Shishupala. Krishna said, no, if you do anything else, the mission is not be accomplished. There were 2 goals behind it. One was Shishupala has to leave his body. As soon as the Gopala, cowboy, all kinds of things Shishupala is called, number of words, we'll read that later. But as soon as Krishna decided, 100th offense was spoken, Krishna sent his Sudarshana Chakram, the wheel, and cut Shishupala's head. Took away Shishupala's head. Shishupala's head fell. The Shishupala's soul, which left the body, came and merged into Krishna's body. Everyone present there saw this amazing thing what was happening. Yudhishthira Maharaj's this unhappiness you can imagine. You know why? Yudhishthira Maharaj said this also to Sri Narada Maharshi once. I have spent all my life to please Krishna. Done everything what I can with my mother, with my brothers. I followed everything what I was told to do. This Shishupala stood there and simply blasted Krishna, abusing him. And he gets the liberation first and I am still here. What is the logic in this? What is the logic in this? He says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, ask this to Sri Narada Maharshi. That is in the 7th canto, you will see. The answer is there. Why it has happened? So there it is mentioned how it can happen. Shishupala's time had come. He had to go back. So he has gone back to the spiritual world. Gone back to his original duty there. Jayan Vijaya got it back in that Jaya's position. Dandavakra joins him later. So now what happens here? Rajasuyam sacrifice is over. 17 months, 17 days. Everyone who had come enjoyed very well, going home with plenty of wealth in the hand. Everyone very, very extremely pleased about the Rajasuyam. Krishna was also very pleased with Rajasuyam. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, more than anybody else, Yudhishthira Maharaj's glory spread all over the world because of this sacrifice, Rajasuyam sacrifice. And after everyone was going away, they were going back and saying, bidding farewell from Yudhishthira Maharaj, bidding farewell to him and thanking him for the invitation and paying their respects to Krishna, and they were all leaving one after the other. Everything went very well. So now whose turn comes? Duryodhana's turn comes. Duryodhana has to also go and say goodbye to Bhai now. Duryodhana's heart is really burning inside with all what he has seen, with the envy has built up so much Sir, he couldn't tolerate anymore. But he at least thought that I should also show to Yudhishthira Maharaj what I am capable of. So he is also dressed up like a big king with the crown and everything, expensive clothes, and dressed up in the royal attire, and he is moving towards to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. So while going to see Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is accompanied by all these first-class aides, Secretary of State and all this, all whatever it is, Shaguni, Karna and all that. They were all with him going together to thank officially, to say thanks to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But what is Krishna's done in between is that with Maya has built a special palace for Yudhishthira Maharaj, a special palace. The beauty of this palace is that anyone who comes to this palace, if you are thinking something ill about the Pandavas, you will feel a complete rejection from there. In other words, Stala Jala Brahmam, that is how it is referred to. Stala Jala Brahmam means, wherever there is water, you will find there is no water. And wherever there is, wherever you find there is no water, there is water. A kind of confusion has created by Maya. Maya energy they have manipulated like this. Maya has manipulated and built this in that way. So that was created, and Duryodhana is coming to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj is sitting there with Draupadi, in the king and the queen sitting there, and all the Pandavas were there in the assembly, and many others, very, very respected personalities were there. But while walking in, they have to walk through this area where you get confused whether there is water or not water. So when they started walking in, they were all observing. If you have not thought anything ill of Pandavas, you could see everything clearly. This is the beauty of that, the creation. So, but here, Duryodhana, you can imagine what was inside about Pandavas. So when he walked in, there was no water, but he was pulling his clothes up, thinking that there is water. So as soon as this happened, everyone laughed at Duryodhana. But Yudhishthira said to everyone, you shouldn't laugh. After all, he is a king and he is my brother. He has come to participate in this Rajasiyam sacrifice. So because king says like that, everyone kept quiet. Again Duryodhana started walking. There was a lot of water at some place. And without knowing anything, Duryodhana fell into the water. As soon as he fell, he was trying to get up. By the way, all the clothes were wet. And he was looking awkward. You see, even if you are any great personality in this world, if you slip and fall somewhere, anybody will laugh. You won't think whether you are big or small or anything. It is a natural reaction. Sometimes you will say, in order to avoid the embarrassment, you will say, oh, can I help you or whatever it is. But here no one was going out to help Duryodhana. He fell into the water and he couldn't get up from the water because it's quite deep there as well. So water was right up to the mouth, and he was more or less going down, and plus somehow the other Shaguni and Karna managed to pull him out. And they were also going through the same exercise what Duryodhana was going through. So like this, Duryodhana was going through, sometimes in the water, without water, he fell 2-3 times like this in the water. And all the time, people were trying to laugh and enjoy the thing. Nobody was saying anything because they all knew the beauty of this place, what the reaction will be. Yudhishthira Maharaj told everybody not to smile. Not to smile. Not to laugh and make a joke of it, because we have to be respectful. The king, Duryodhana is the king. But standing behind Duryodhana, Krishna was standing there. Krishna is telling everybody to laugh. He did this. Krishna deliberately did this. When Krishna said this from the back to laugh, everybody started laughing in a ha ha ha, like a big scale laughing started. And who took the maximum advantage? Bhimasena. It was Bhimasena who had the greatest enmity towards Duryodhana. And one day, Bhima has taken the vow that one day I'll smash your skull with my club. And Bhima was ready to act also. That day also, Yudhishthira Maharaj has kept him under control. Otherwise, Bhima would have done that. That day itself, Mahabharata would have finished there. But Krishna says to them, keep on doing it. When Krishna said that, everybody started laughing. Although Yudhishthira has told them not to laugh. And particularly, Bhima laughed so badly. Bhima laughed so much that Draupadi, who was sitting next to Yudhishthira Maharaj, also started laughing. Now, she shouldn't have laughed, isn't it? After all, she is the queen. She is the who has invited Duryodhana. And Duryodhana has helped every way he can in the whole sacrifice. Although he had devious plans, it didn't work. But here what has happened now is that Draupadi started laughing and Duryodhana saw that. And Duryodhana said to that day, took a vow on that particular day, one day if I do not pay back for this, for laughing at me the way what you have laughed here and insulted me, Draupadi, don't call me Duryodhana anymore. He said that was the vow he has taken on that day in front of all these big, big kings and great personalities, sages who were present there. He took that vow on that day. Krishna was satisfied. That's all he wanted. This is all he wanted. He was satisfied. I have sown the seed for Mahabharata war. He was satisfied. Very happily, he said goodbye to Yudhishthira Maharaj, took all his family, went back to Dwaraka. And our Duryodhana also goes back to Hastinapur. So you can see that purpose of Rajasuyam was this. This was the culmination of that. That eventually animosity has to be created. And if you don't inject this into Duryodhana to make it worse, it will not come out. Otherwise it will keep on burning inside. Rather, you give a little boost so that it comes out. And that seed was sown for Mahabharata war on that particular day in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. So the Sridharacharya Swamiji says there in the beginning of the Rajasuyam sacrifice that this was the purpose behind it. We have to remember many things from this. Krishna, when our duty is to please Krishna, we have no other responsibility in this world. All other responsibilities are secondary. Primary commitment is to please Krishna. As long as that is not done, that we have not fulfilled our obligations also to Krishna. And when that is completed, all other obligations are not important. So you can see when sometimes in this material world, in this earthly planet, one after the other, wars are going on. All the time some war or the other is happening. And all the time we are making League of Nations first. We had League of Nations to stop the wars. After the First World War, they started League of Nations. They say, if we have League of Nations, we'll all sit together and discuss not to have such a large-scale war again. We'll stop it. But what did happen? Hardly 40 years have gone, the Second World War broke out again. Isn't it? So what did they do then? They did not realize where things are going wrong. They realized, thought that, is it because we are not talking to each other? That is why the war is happening. So before they could do anything, the Second World War broke out, another one, another lasting for 6-7 years it lasted. Millions lost their life in that battle. And again, after that they said, we'll change the League of Nations to United Nations. We change the name and the story is the same. Nothing has changed. Wars are still going on. Why does this happen? Because the human society, as long as they do not understand that there is a higher authority controlling us, our life on a day-to-day basis, every hour and second in our life, completely under the control of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, and we do not execute our obligations to Krishna, we have to accept what material nature gives to us. And that is the reality of this world. When Krishna wanted to destroy, he puts two things one against the other, and they can battle it out and sort it out each other. And this is the lesson from Rajasuyam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.